and first responders in this county, Clinton and Hill County, can receive $100 off your service. Siren Tech Systems is your technology partner. Whether it's business class internet, phone and TV, or the world-class IT services, Siren Tech is here to manage your technology needs so you can focus on what you love to do. Visit SirenTech.com for a free quote today. Sign up to learn more about the Virginia 529 Smart Savers Program and receive your Virginia 529 Fun Zone bracelet for just $1. You heard that right. All you can play is just $1 when you sign up to learn more about the Virginia 529 Smart Savers Program. Having fun and saving money? It's the smart thing to do. Visit the first base jump course behind Section 3 to learn more.
My name is Tara Gilbert from the Madison Heights branch. Welcome to Baker James Stadium, home of the Hillcats.
Hey, I'm Will. I'm on the commercial team, and welcome to Baker James Stadium. Go Hillcats!
Hey, Hillcats fans, I'm Hans Lowell with Baker James.
And I'm Jimmy Davis with Baker James. Welcome to Baker James Stadium.
Go Hillcats!
Hello, I'm Alan Bucket with the commercial banking team. Welcome to Baker James Stadium.
This is Kevin Slugger Jill with Baker James.
Go Hillcats!
Welcome to the Bacon and James Stadium, home of the Hillcats.
I am Lisa Taylor with the marketing team at Bacon and James. Go Hillcats!
Go Hillcats!
It's easy. Just text my name, Mike, that's M-I-K-E, to 85775. That's Mike to 85775 to register. Data and messaging rates may apply. Text Mike to 85775 right now to win Hillcats tickets and be in the running to win our Skybox. It's all from the Mike Show and Radio 434.
Sometimes you call it
James Stadium for game two of this six-game series. As the Lynchburg Hillcats take on the Salem Red Sox. Wow, the last night. Hillcats came away with a 10-5 victory. We'll see if we can get more of the same here tonight. Let's get caught up on the starting lineup. First, the Red Sox. Very first, shortstop number two, Hassan Cuscolo. Batting second, third baseman number 11, Antonio Anderson. Batting third, the designated hitter number three, Brooks Brandon. Batting fourth, second baseman number six, Marvin Alcantara. Batting fifth, first baseman number 18, Fraley Encarnacion. Batting sixth, right fielder number 22, Emmanuel Youth. Batting seventh in left field number five, Andy Lugo. Batting eighth in doing the catching number 44, Daniel Mickelbaby. And batting ninth for the Red Sox, center fielder number 10, Stanley Tucker. On the mound for the Red Sox, number 48, JoJo Andrade. Alright, now the starting lineup for your Lynchburg Hillcats. Brought to you by Son Insurance. For all your local hometown insurance needs, get Son Insurance. Leading the top left fielder, number 5, Tommy Hawk. Batting second, the designated hitter, number 24, Ralphie Velasquez. Hitting third in center field, number 8, Jason Churio. Batting fourth, right fielder, number 9, Esteban Gonzalez. Batting fifth, shortstop, number 6, Rafael Ramirez Jr. Batting sixth, second baseman, number 2, Juan Benjamin. Batting seventh, doing the catching, number 11, Manuel Mejia. Batting eighth, first baseman, number 25, Evan Rebar. Batting ninth, third baseman, number 7, Grant Altuve. On the mound here, look at night number 15, Jackson Humphrey. Here goes down to the by number 39, Jordan Smith. And we're not the play, we're talking about Marcy Hawkins. They're Tommy Hawk, Esteban Gonzalez, and Manuel Mejia. Maybe if these three hit a home run, we'll have Black Men Barbecue coupon available at the promo booth. Black Men Barbecue is serving up authentic barbecue inspired by flavors and traditions of the South. Prior to slow smoke, full pork, sausage, or wings. Check out our event schedule on Facebook or visit our website at blacktipsbbq.com. It's time to introduce you to tonight's digital spectacle for Strikeout Batter. Tonight's Strikeout Batter is second baseman number 6, Marvin Alcantara. If he strikes out at any point during the game tonight, double spectacle will be discounted for a limited time. So when he comes to the plate, make sure you get off that strikeout.
That is the record of your Lynchburg Hillcats against the Salem Red Sox, their 460 Commonwealth Carolina League North rivals. Win number 11 came last night, a 10-5 slugfest that the Cats pulled out in the end. We're going to recap that game one and cover a whole lot more on Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show this evening. So welcome to the pregame show hosted by yours truly, Connor Young. It's Tuesday. But we already have played one game at the Bank of the James Stadium in this six-game series. I know it's unusual, but the Cats certainly didn't seem to mind playing on Monday. The bats were alive and well for Lynchburg, so let's take a deeper look at last night's contest. Yordan Gomez got the pill on the hill from Jordan Smith to start off the series right for the Hillcats. Gomez allowed the most hits he has all season long, 8 in total, but would escape the game only giving up 3 earned runs despite the 8 hits surrendered to Salem. Nizan Zenitello logged 3 of those hits while also driving in 4 runs for the Red Sox as he would pester Lynchburg arms of all kind from the leadoff spot Monday night. Salem got their fair share of hits, that is for sure, but they just couldn't find that impact hit to really blow the game open. It was small paper cuts of single after single that they would chain together, and in doing so, they put up 5 runs on Lynchburg. The Hillcats would wait till the back 3 innings until they would really put a hurting on Salem's bullpen and crack the game wide open, scoring 10 by the time it was all said and done, picking up their 6th win of the second half and 43rd of the season in total. Every Hillcat but Tommy Hawk reached base twice, and even Tommy Hawk beat out an infield single to increase his hit streak to 7 straight games, while also driving in a run on a sacrifice fly. Last night displayed the offensive depth Lynchburg can have at their disposal when their guys are clicking at the same time, that's for sure, and they're going to do that again here in Game 2. Let's take a look at our 2 starters for tonight. Neither of the starting pitchers from one night ago were saddled with a decision as the bullpen picked up the win for the Cats and the loss for the Sox. The Hillcats starter, especially, would love to be left in the game long enough tonight to get a decision. He is in search of his first win as a member of a Hillcat. That starting pitcher will be Jackson Humphreys. Humphreys has been pitching better and better month by month in 2024 and hopes that trend can continue in the fresh month of July. He will have a chance to get the ball rolling in a positive direction in his first start of the new month tonight. Jojo Ingracia is a strikeout artist through and through, and he will get the ball from Salem manager Liam Carroll. Ingracia's 74 strikeouts on the year, ranked in the top 5 of the Carolina League leaderboards. Ingracia has been one of the best starters in a very solid Salem rotation this season. From home in Lynchburg to all around the Carolina League, it is now time to take a look at the Carolina League schedule and standings. 6:30 p.m. Eastern starts here in Lynchburg, down east in Fayetteville. It'll be Carolina versus the Wood Ducks and Kannapolis versus the Woodpeckers. Charleston and Myrtle Beach will get going for Game 2 of their series at 7:05 p.m. Eastern. Delmarva and Fredericksburg, Augusta and Columbia will all get going at that 7:05 p.m. Eastern start. Let's take a look at the standings in the second half. Fredericksburg, they jumped Delmarva. They're now in the top spot, 7-3 in the second half. So much like in the first half, the Frednats starting off pretty hot. Now the problem for them later in the first half of the season was we saw a downtick in production and wins, which had them falling all the way below Lynchburg. But once again, for Fredericksburg, so far so good. Start off the second half. Delmarva and Lynchburg tied for second at 6-4, 1 game out apiece. Carolina 5-5. They've already locked up their postseason spot after they clinched the first half division title in the North. Down East and Salem 4-6, both in the basement, just 3 games out though. They're still in the very early goings of the second half of the season. In the South, Columbia and Fayetteville are tied for first at 6-4. Augusta 5-5, along with Charleston at the same record, both 1 game out of the top spot. Kannapolis and Myrtle Beach in the basement, 3 games out of first place. Kannapolis going all the way from the top in the first half to struggling out the gates in the second half at 3-7, tied with Myrtle Beach for the worst record so far through the second half. Just a couple weeks though under their belt. That Kannapolis offense has remained intact, which a lot of the pieces have. We'd think that they're going to bounce back any time now. But there's been a lot of good news for Hillcats hitters lately, mainly the trio of Esteban Gonzalez, Ralphie Velasquez, and Jason Churio. We'll talk a lot about that throughout the broadcast tonight. All 3 of them will be in the lineup today, so let's go through the Lynchburg lineup for this sunny, sublime Tuesday evening. Tommy Hawk will lead things off. Ralphie Velasquez will bat second. He'll DH. He'll get the day off from first base. We'll see a new man over in that position near the Bank of the James Stadium. James Caturio bats third. Esteban Gonzalez in the cleanup spot. He'll play right field. His first time getting a starting nod from Jordan Smith in this series. He got the day off yesterday in game one. Esteban Gonzalez coming off a Carolina League Player of the Week nomination for his fantastic series against Carolina. That's his second award he's won this season. He's been fantastic. Rafael Amaria Jr. had a great game yesterday, 2-for-4 with 3 RBIs. He'll bat 5th. Juan Benjamin, not too shabby himself. He'll be in the middle infield pairing with Ramirez Jr. He went 3-for-5 with 2 RBIs on Monday. Manuel Mejia will do the catching. Kevin Rivas will play first base and bat 8th. Fran Aldui will bat 9th, play 3rd. For Salem, Nizan Zenitello looked like the top prospect he is last night, going 3-for-5 with 4 RBIs from the leadoff spot. He'll be the table setter for Salem once again in Game 2, followed by Antonio Anderson. Batting third will be Brooks Brandon. He'll DH. We saw him at first. He's a primary catcher. We'll do the DHing today. Marvin Alcantara gets his first start of the series. He'll bat fourth and play second. For Eli Encarnacion, our first time looking at him this series. He showed some pop against the Hillcats earlier on in this all-time season series, which Lynchburg leads 11-2. After their win last night, he'll play first base at 5th. Nathaniel Newton took an 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts last night. He'll be in the lineup again, bat 6th in right field. Andy Lugo will bat 7th in left. Daniel Mickelbaney will play catcher in bat 8th. Stanley Tucker once again batting 9th in center field for Salem. I mentioned some good news being announced for several Hillcats hitters, one of them being Ralphie Velasquez. I caught up with Ralphie pregame this afternoon and talked with him about the monumental career achievement he was honored with earlier today. Out is recorded tonight. Stick around for the post-game show. Jason Pro will break down the box score. If the Hillcats win, you'll hear from the Hillcat Hero of the Game, and then I'll get you ready for Wednesday's game. 3 tomorrow, while making one final glance around the Carolina League in the second half of the post-game show. But getting ahead of myself, first and foremost, we got some Hillcats baseball on deck. And up next on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Tuesday, and game number two, which is weird to say. We don't get to say that very often, Connor. As Lynchburg and Salem get set for another rendition of the Battle of Forts. This is for alongside Connor Young on this beautiful Tuesday night, July the 2nd. July is all around here as well. Look at some beautiful weather, hasn't it?
Really has, and like you said, not too often we can say on Tuesday we've already played one game in this series, but you might want to schedule some more Monday games going forward if it means that Lynchburg's going to hit like this. I mean, they were fantastic last night up and down the order. They certainly didn't mind getting up and playing on a Monday, despite how ragged they've been running after the two-week road trip, and then no game in between after their last game against Carolina on Sunday, coming right back home and playing on Monday. Didn't seem to affect at least the bats all that much, as Lynchburg, for whatever reason, all season long, they've just had Salem's number. They're hoping that continues tonight.
If you're the Lynchburg Hillcats, that's what you want to see, because you're going to play Salem so many times this season that you have to be comfortable and confident. You pick up games against Salem, and you see about as much as anybody else in the entire league. You set up pretty well. Tonight, they're hoping to battle against JoJo and Gracia. If they can have the success they had last night off the Salem pitching staff, I'd be really impressed with Gallagher and Gracia. For the most part, other than his last time out against Pittsburgh,
yeah, and Gracia, he's a tough customer. He's a strikeout guy. We're going to talk a lot about that throughout the broadcast. He gets a lot of Ks. That's always important for a pitcher, especially with a defense that, as we saw yesterday, was struggling in Salem, and that's nothing new really for the Red Sox. If you look at their fielding statistics in comparison to the rest of the Carolina League, they're definitely one of the weaker teams in that regard. So to have a guy that can kind of take that game out of it is super important, and you're right, and Gracia is one of the few starting pitchers on a good starting staff for Salem that has had success against Lynchburg in the past.
In his last three starts of the season, let's toss it back another four starts. He has 29 strikeouts in four starts, which is an incredible pace for JoJo and Gracia. Only once in those starts did he go 5 innings. So, he's a guy that's going to pound the zone and force guys to swing and miss, but Lynchburg, not really, have been outstanding when they face guys who pound the zone. It seems to be guys who struggle with their command if they have no problems.
Yeah, Lynchburg, sometimes their patience can play into the hands of the pitcher at times, like you mentioned. But when a guy's going to come to the zone and they feel like they can get their ace swings off, they're a dangerous offense, especially when you have as many guys going as they do. Tommy Hawks on a hit streak. Jason Churio was seeing the ball really well yesterday. We don't even need to talk about Esteban Gonzalez. He's been so good recently. So, yeah, this lineup is scary, man. But if there's anyone in this rotation for Salem, I would say Grassi is the one to be up to the task.
Well, Gonzalez back in the lineup today after winning his second Player of the Week award this season. Yeah, last night off, he's batting fourth. Piggyback Velasquez and Churio, as you mentioned in the pregame show, Connor, both awarded a trip to the Futures game during what they call it All-Star, their All-Star break. But it's not really the All-Star break. The Hillcats are actually going to lose that break. About 3 games leading into the All-Star break. The game's taking place on Saturday, July 13th, when Lynchburg has a game Saturday, July 13th. Out Churio and Velasquez for a couple of games. They will have to track down to Arlington, Texas.
Absolutely is. We heard Ralphie talk about how he felt like it was a culmination of the hard work he put in over the years. It certainly is. It's a huge milestone for both those guys. And I couldn't think of any two players more deserving than them.
Jason Churio, huge honor for him as well, and all the hard work he has put in this season. Piggybacking off the success of his brother, I don't think he can really give any blame or validity to Jason Churio. Anything he's put in. And it's just an outstanding hitter, defender. Yeah, one of the best guys to play for anyone. Right now, we'll toss it down to our PA announcers. He's still out, except for defense. Go ahead.
Fans, make a noise. Here they come.
your 2024 Lynchburg Hillcats. Here at field, number 9, Edward Gonzalez. In center field, number 8, Nathan Curio. In left field, number 5, Tommy. Number 25, Kevin Riva. At second base, number 2, Juan Benjamin. At shortstop, number 6, Rafael Ramirez Jr. At third base, number 7, Frank Altuve. Catching tonight, number 11, Manuel Mejia. The next team is interview look at number 24, Ralphie Velasquez. And on the left, number 15, Nixon Humphrey. And your look at standing by number 39, Jordan Mitch. Yes, this time we have to please rise. This time to remove your cap. We honor America with the singing of our national anthem tonight, performed by Rachel Lupo.
Orange day, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes in the rising stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the wreckage recollect the bombs bursting in air, came through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Back inside Bank of the James Stadium as the Lynchburg Hillcats will square off against the Salem Red Sox. Alongside Connor Young as Jackson Humphrey, the left-hander on the bump for the Hillcats this evening. Humphrey's 0-4 with a 5.06 ERA as the month of June, a significant improvement for everything that we've seen prior for this.
Definitely was. He had his best start of the season and his first start in the month of June. He pitched to a 3.00 ERA in June, his best month mark of the season. Although in both of his last starts, he was driven out of the game before getting out of the fourth inning. That could be a threshold Humphrey could look to cross his first start of the new month of July this evening. But you look at his numbers, and he has significantly improved month by month. His ERA in April was 11.57, ERA in May 5.52, then a much improved ERA of just 3 in June. So he's hoping that trend continues and follows him into July.
Humphreys will get a look at Salem today. He faced them at the end of May. We went 2-2, but it was an okay start. Only 3 hits, 1 run. He'll face the lineup for the Red Sox that looks a little bit like this guy.
Zion Zenitello will lead off. He went 3-for-5 with 4 RBIs yesterday. Every single RBI that Salem got was thanks to the leadoff man, Zenitello. Antonio Anderson will bat 2nd, Brandon 3rd. Marvin Alcantara, first time seeing him in this series, he'll bat 4th. Really Encarnacion, which can say the same about the first baseman, who will bat 5th. Nathaniel Eaton took an over 5 with 3 strikeouts last night. He'll bat 6th. Andy Lugo will play in left and bat 7th. Daniel McIlvaney will be catching bat 8. Stanley Tucker once again in the 9 spot. He went 2-for-3 from that 9 hole on Monday night with just 1 strikeout. Tucker, much like Luis Durango, was productive out of the 9 hole on Monday. He'll have a chance to do that again here Tuesday.
It'll be Nazar Zanatello, who had a heck of a ball game yesterday. Picked up 3 hits and 3 RBIs as well. And reached base 4 times throughout the ball game yesterday. His RBI total up to 14 now. Batting 211 as he was below the Mendoza line coming into the series. As he takes a little bit high for ball 1 at 633. 83 degrees and sunny here at first pitch. Humphreys rocks, kicks, and delivers. A little bit low. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Already struggling to find the zone. Command has been the issue this season for him. The 2-0. Right on the inside corner. 2 balls and a strike. A good 89-mile-an-hour fastball in the bottom part of the plate.
Humphreys works fastball, change-up, slider, curve. Good 4-pitch mix.
What a nice change-up. 2-2. Don't see the change-up as often as we see some of the other pitches.
Yeah.
But that one right there, 79 miles an hour. Zanatello was way out in front of it.
Yeah, he has 4 pitches. He may not use all of them equally. That change-up, one of the pitches that we don't see often. The curveball also, one he'll only break out sparingly. But when he does have a good feel for all 4, he's a tough pitcher to deal with.
Right there, he gets the strikeout on Zanatello, right off speed. First strikeout to do. Brings Antonio Anderson to this. That was a good at bat after being down 0-2-0. Zanatello able to come back and get the strikeout.
Sure was. In June, like you already talked about, the walks were the biggest issue. When he had his trouble starts, even in a good month of June, it was when he was allowing 3-plus walks. He did that twice. His last start, he walked 3 batters. 2 starts before that, he walked 5. His strikeout-to-walk ratio in June was 13 walks to 18 strikeouts. So you want to see him live more around the zone and also use that those breaking pitches that he has in 2 strike counts.
Anderson grounds it down the third baseline and into the corner for a baseline. He'll round first and the second. Hawk has trouble with it in the corner. That'll be a one-out double for Antonio Anderson. Back-to-back ball games that Salem has had.
Having third
baseline, position as well. Anderson. Pass the baton to Brooks Brannon. Brannon, who's DHing tonight, yesterday, not his best game. He only had 1 hit. He's still batting 319 on the season. Again, Humphreys pulled the string on it for strike 1.
I like it. I like using those pitches early in counts like this, Jason. We haven't seen that a lot from Jackson Humphreys, like you noted, but keeps hitters off balance. You saw that swing from Brannon, certainly off balance.
Deal 1. In the dirt. Good block by Mejias. 1 ball, 1 strike. It seems like they're sitting on the fastball because Zanatello is well out in front, as is Brooks Brannon in this at-bat. So Humphreys is resorting to using those off-speed pitches. The 1-1. Brannon tight. He used the fastball that time, too.
Yeah, you'll see that fastball live around the low 90s. He has the capability to fire it up a little faster, but make sure he's got good command of the pitch. You see him live in the low 90 area.
2-1, backed him off the plate again. 3 balls and a strike. See what he goes with here. Brannon is not the guy that you want to just leave one right over the heart of the plate to.
Humphreys looks it. The pitch. High wide, ball four. Back-to-back base runners here in the first with one down.
He had room for Brandon with the first base hit open, but that's not a good sign for Jackson Humphreys, especially because it was a 3-1 count that he then throws an uncompetitive changeup to. That's what we've seen from him. But Humphreys is really struggling. It's not that he's just walking hitters. He's walking hitters on 5 pitches, 4 pitches, where he just clearly has no feel for his command. I'm not saying he's at that point yet, but that's something to be aware of. We've seen a lot of Tony Arnold mound visits on Jackson Humphreys' start days.
That one finds the zone to Marvin Alcantara. Alcantara batting .229, 2 home runs, 30 RBIs. An RBI opportunity here. 2 aboard and 1 away, top of the first inning. In the dirt, 1-1. Salem struck first yesterday in the second inning. Just like yesterday, Salem has 2 aboard in the first inning. See if Humphreys can match what Gomez did and get out of it. Ball strike on the inside half, 1-2.
Humphreys has started 19 games for Lynchburg between the 2023 and 2024 season. He's not picked up a single win as a member of the Hellcats. And I think part of that is they've been really careful with his pitch count limit.
1-2, check swing. He went around, says the home plate umpire. That's 2 down, second strikeout. Third strikeout, 2. That brings up Freely Encarnacion with 2 down.
Encarnacion, our first look at him this series. He showed some pop when he was here in Lynchburg last time. Although that pop was sparse, but when he did hit the ball, you could tell there's some power in that right-handed swing. He went 1-for-4 in his last game with a strikeout.
Puts it in there for a called strike, though. Encarnacion, one of the higher averages for Salem, batting .263. As a team, they're sitting in .220 range. The 0-1. Broken bat over toward third. Aldewey will flip on to the second baseman, Benjamin, who's standing on the bat. He gets the runner, and the inning is over. So, Humphreys works out of a jam as we head to the bottom half of the first inning.
25 years of being so and strength of our business, we've learned to trust our customers, partners, and employees by delivering professional service and maintaining the integrity of our core values. And we're trying to make good on our commitments for each of our communities. Strength, trust, commitment. Standing on this foundation, we're strong and stand ready for you. I'm Bob Chapman.
If your Hillcat scores 5 runs on Spell Out Wing, the first 100 fans will receive a Buffalo Wild Wing coupon. Buffalo Wild Wings on North Road is the place to celebrate before and after Hillcat games. Join them for their BOGO Tuesdays and Thursdays, as well as happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. Plus, by becoming a Blazer Rewards member, you can score 3 feet-up food and more just for your loyalty.
Left-hander, 3-1, 242.
Yeah, and Gracia, in his last time against the Hillcats, he went for 4 innings, gave up 3 earned runs, only struck out 2. And more recently, he's been really filling up the strikeout numbers in his start. After that June 2nd start against Lynchburg, he struck out 6 or more in every single start. He's been, honestly, since that last start against Lynchburg. He's been on a tear for Salem.
1-1 on Tommy Hawk. Hawk, a one-hit day yesterday. Instead of his hitting streak to 7, his on-base streak to 15. Five 1-2 misses below the knees. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Gracia, 14th round pick out of Cal State Fullerton. As that's flared over to a third grab by Anderson. There's one away in common. Take us through defense.
For Salem, they'll have Anderson at third base. You saw him make that play there. Zanatello at short, Alcantara at second, Encarnacion at first. But Lugo made it in catching. In the outfield, Andy Lugo there juggled the outfield. On the outfield, he'll play left. In center, Tucker. In right, you.
Inside with a fastball to Ralphie Velasquez for ball one. Velasquez batting 263 for home runs, 43 RBIs. Yesterday, 2 singles. He drives this one to the right side field. He's going to pitch out around first and first there as Eaton got 250. Nice, smooth swing from Ralphie Velasquez. Just honored with a trip to the MLB Futures game. As was Dixon Cheerio. He steps in right now. Both of them will be making a trip down to Arlington, Texas in the Lone Star State. Every team gets a representative. Got two of them. Both of them happen to be 2 and 3 in the lineup tonight, as they are typically every night. Cheerio takes below the knees for ball one. Cheerio batting 270, 3 home runs, 47 RBIs in cover. I think we have to say that that's a tremendous honor, not just for these two players. 2 balls for those guys, but also this coaching staff.
Sure.
That two of their players that they've had a chance to work with probably more than anybody else in the organization, they're going to be honored by playing in minor league's biggest honor.
Yeah, like you said, each team gets at least one representative for each major league team, that is, gets one representative. But both of the two, coming from the Cleveland organization, play right here in Lynchburg. So it's a pretty big honor for both those two players. And the coaching staff has it.
Look at that. Right on cue. Cheerio picks up a single as well. So back-to-back base hits by the Futures Game representatives. Those two awards won it up. How about a Player of the Week award winner for Esteban Gonzalez, who's coming off a great game in Carolina?
Yeah, it was a fantastic week for Gonzalez in a 10-game hit streak. He currently leads the team in average hits, runs, tied for first and triples, slugging percentage, and stolen bases. It's incredible the tear he's been on.
In there for a strike, 0-1. And there's a player every single year who comes out of nowhere to shock and surprise. Last year, probably make the argument that was Jose Devers. This year, I think it's pretty safe to say that Esteban Gonzalez is the one turning heads. Down and away with 1 ball, 1 strike. He was not a highly heralded prospect coming into the season. So we were told about how he had the power, he had speed, he was the best of both worlds, but when you have the likes of Cheerio and Velasquez in front of you, he takes a strike running to him. It kind of gets lost on some of these other guys who are coming up that have this skill and ability. Just get overlooked a little bit. Salas, one of those this season, but he has made a name for himself. 1-2. Chops it towards first and in between hop for Encarnacion. He contemplates and he'll race Gonzalez to the bag. And retire him for out number 2. He thought about throwing to second to get Cheerio.
And batting fifth.
Decided against him. Barely was able to get in for
Rafael Ramirez Jr.
Was the right decision. That's just what two speedy guys will do to you. Got Cheerio at first, and Gonzalez running down the base path. Got to make a split-second decision. Cheerio, there was no play at second. He goes back home, just gets Gonzalez in time.
Rafael Ramirez takes a called strike. Ramirez, he had a double in yesterday, and also a 2-run single in the 8th inning. Got his average up to 197.
0-1, a little topper over toward first. Then Encarnacion again will take himself in the inning. Comes to a close. So it feels like a repeat of last night's ball game. Each team gets two runners aboard. In the first inning, neither team brings anyone home.
Let's go. Logan and Shane Wall. Come out of wire traveling, we have what we need to make every day even sweeter. Because when you stay closer, like me, it makes every day brighter. Season days in over 1,500 locations. Things now, a trusted brand of vibrant dots. Go to J&J for all your residential and commercial real estate supply needs. Located at 10179 Ward Road across from the Lynchburg Airport, or visit us on the web at jmjcompanies.com for more information. Attention baseball fans, you ready to catch the Surfside Wave? Get on your feet and join the fun. Don't forget to grab the Surfside Ice Tea Club Vodka. This is grainy and vodka, and represents only 100 calories and just 2 grams of sugar, all with absolutely zero bubbles. Surfside flavors include iced tea, peach tea, and lemon. Let's make some noise and ride
back out there for the early morning. Busy week at Bank of Change Day. Boy, Marty hit game number 2 in coverage. Anyway, busy week. Thursday, 4th of July celebration. Friday, patriotic cap giveaway. Saturday is Star Wars.
Hitting off one out in the second inning of Lord Salem. Adding James, right fielder, number 22.
Are you wearing any red, white, and blue on Thursday?
I don't know. I'll have to think about it. I feel like you have to. Maybe a hat, something like that. I just hope this weather keeps up for this week. It's been amazing.
Ooh, Uton swings at a pitch up high for a strike. Hey, you're exactly right, Connor. It's in the low 80s today. It was the high 70s yesterday. It's supposed to get warmer this week.
That's fine.
Into the 90s, like we saw the past couple weeks with the Cats run. Jackson had part of the attempt, and say he would go out for strike two. But this evening,
yeah,
it'll cool off a little bit, the sun will dip. Should be a great night here at Bank of the James Day. And the Hillcats last season for the 4th of July, the team themselves and the players. Two. Beautiful breaking ball that wraps around the top. You can sit down.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing much breaking stuff when we were seeing Jackson. Maybe it's just that good today. That slider especially, perfectly placed, great late break. Daniel Uton completely gave up on that ball. Now he struck out 4 times so far through just 6 plate appearances against Lugo.
Andy Lugo will step in. Lugo batting 259. 19 RBIs. He left field tonight. Pops it up out of play. So, continuing with what the team did last year for the 14th. Jordan Smith allowed the team to wear anything America during batting practice. 1-1. Sky. Hello, left center field. It'll be Cheerio. But they all wore red, white, and blue something. And Jordan Smith, he looked like your total Americana. He had the American flag cut off, the short shorts that you would typically see for somebody who's going to a lake day.
Sure.
And then they brought down a giant bald eagle head from the promo clause, and he walked around wearing that for part of the batting practice. And that's the kind of manager that Jordan Smith is. He's got the players' love. And you can just tell that the energy that gets fed from him. And I anticipate seeing something very similar this coming Thursday. maybe the team will get on board with some of those more advanced costumes, as quite a few did it last year, as Nick Mulvaney spoke to it for Strike 2, but I think Jordan Smith would love to see 100%
buy-in
yeah. from the team.
Now I'm expecting it. I'm right there with him. I'm hoping for something special.
The 1-2. Go!
One of the 92 loud out of the house by Instagram.
Mick Mulvaney is retired. And the team for a second in the 1-2 party. In the bottom half of the frame, really
celebrating for your party, raising funds for your organization, or simply taking an involvement with a group of people, the Hillcats will put together custom packages to make sure your event is a success. For more information, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
All right, Mr. Chief, this is the one Capital One. What's in your wallet shuffle? Now it's time to track it. Where's it going? I think I might get it. Okay. Oh, I lost it. Is it number one, number two, or number three? And the winner is number two. Thanks for playing Capital One. What's in your wallet shuffle?
Bottom of the second inning, JoJo Andrassi was able to work out some trouble in the bottom half of the first inning. It was the bottom half of the lineup today. It was devastating yesterday. Twice, an RBI single late in the ballgame. Juan Benjamin will line this one in the left field base. He continues his pitch. This is a big play of the point. He takes the second throw, cut off by the shortstop. Benjamin with a leadoff double. He's up to second.
There might be an opening hotter.
Carolina will be in the last 20, 30 days.
Yeah, it really impressed me. It's amazing what playing time will do. He's gotten some more regular reps since Angel Hanau has opened up some more middle infield spots. He's taking full advantage of it. He's looked like his 2023 self.
Manuel Mejias will step in. He's looking to get his back. His average back up. He's batting .218, a home run, 16 RBIs. Already three hits for the Hillcats, though. Good sign to show that they're continuing what happened yesterday. double digit hits. Off-hander. Jam on the infield. The first baseman in Carcassion will pull everybody off to make the grab for one. Tough pitch from Ingrassio. Yes, probably should have laid off of it. Straight up.
Yeah, I got handcuffed. Going up inside on him. Just able to punch it in the shallow infield. That'll bring up Kevin Rivas. He was playing first today. It's interesting. We've seen some experimentation with that first base position. It seems like Jordan Smith and this coaching staff is looking for some more options over there.
Well, Benjamin being pulled in other areas,
right,
which is where he had been primarily his first base when he would get on the field. He's now being tasked with playing second on a regular basis elsewhere across the infield. Rivas swings and misses out wide. But there's the hole. Ryan Velasquez has yet to be filled. They've tried other guys out during BP. We've seen Manuel Mejias, we've seen Lester Cepeda, and now Kevin Rivas during the game. Two-strike pitch. A little bit low one ball, two strikes.
As for Rivas, he was actually playing shortstop in the Arizona Complex League before being called up to Lynchburg. He was called up as a catcher, presumably due to a Richard Paz injury, and they were looking for someone to fill that role. Kevin Rivas comes up, and now he finds himself playing first base.
1-2, he took a big hack, came up empty. Two down, first strikeout for Ambrosio, which is very uncharacteristic for him. You mentioned only once in his last 4 hours, he's thrown 5 innings, but each time he's had 6 or more strikes, only been his first strikeout. Second out of the second inning.
Yeah, he's got 74 on the season, which is good for fifth in the Carolina League. It's Randall Dewey will roll into the left side of the batter's box. All Dewey was spraying the ball in batting practice today. Like, impressively, out of pretty much everyone earlier today at batting practice that I was watching, Randall Dewey was really showing some pop. Maybe that can translate into the game today.
Squirts away from the catcher, breaking for third is Benjamin. McElhaney was wide for the field. He had some trouble behind the plate yesterday, throwing high down to second, and way high down to third all the way to the left field. So I would expect the Hillcats to be runners today.
Yeah, and I don't think McElhaney's going to be throwing down to second on any first and third steals either.
Not after what happened yesterday. See below the knees at 86, 2 balls and a strike to Aldewey. Aldewey, he's back below the Mendoza line. RBI chance here. Benjamin 90 feet away. Well out in front of him. Good slider. 2-2.
Aldewey was lighting it up in the Arizona Complex League, batting over 400. Then promptly call up to Lynchburg. He hasn't seen that same success offensively since moving up to the Carolina League level.
The 2-2. He pulled the trigger on it again, and that ends the inning. Back-to-back strikeouts for Ingracia. As we head to the third, right here.
It's time for the Green Rose third inning, where a Green Rose beer is $3 off during the entire third inning. Serving Green Rose beer for $3 off. Hey fans, are you looking to disconnect and enjoy a perfect getaway? Let me introduce you to Crabtree Falls Camp. Camp set right on the river, four rustic campus and bedrooms with hot water. Crabtree Falls Campground is your place to stay this summer. Located just an hour drive from Lynchburg,
Crabtree
Falls Campground is just
a half mile away from the tallest waterfall. This is Connor. He's a nice agent. We don't have another headset, but we do have a microphone. It's a little bit busted, but it still works. You can use it. I'm checking the slide. And then, I'm going to take my chair. I can stand. We'll just do you. Welcome back inside Bank of the Jane Stadium. Hurry up. And Jason Creel here with you as we are pleased to be joined by a faithful Hillcats fan, a guy who has a Parsons season ticket package. Not only is he a Parsons season ticket over here, at this point in time, he should have an exclusive pass all across minor league baseball because he just came back from, how many miles was it to?
2,543.
2,543 by a track to minor league ballparks all across the country. Joe is here today. Joe, thank you for being a part of this broadcast. Joe, take us through. This is not the first time you've done this trip, so what was the inspiration behind going to all these different ballparks and making the trip?
Well, it started back about 12 years ago. I would go to a new minor league stadium each year to meet with my brother Cole, and we got to several that we really enjoyed, and I just decided that, you know, it would take a long time to get to as many as I wanted to because there's a lot of great stadiums around minor league baseball. And about 5 years ago, I thought, why don't I just do a trip where I hit, you know, 10 games. Ground out to third. Where I hit about 10 games in about a week and a half. So I finally ended up working last year. I went to bunch of places, Charleston, Columbus, Louisville, Cincinnati, Detroit, Toledo, Lansing, Fort Wayne, Indianapolis, and Dayton. That was great. Great time. Saw Miguel Cabrera. They get two hits on July 4th in Detroit. Great time. Saw a game in Cincinnati the weekend that Taylor Swift was there, but thankfully it wasn't either of the days that she was playing. It was Sunday, so missed that traffic. So that was a blessing. But obviously making the plans that far in advance, you just kind of get lucky sometimes. This year was Hickory, Nashville on the same day to start. Went down to Tennessee Smokies, Rome Emperors, Rock City Trash Pandas, spent a couple days in Nashville, saw the sounds.
Balotello strikes out for out number two. Referee's working quickly.
The second week was Chattanooga, Birmingham, Gwinnett, Greenville, High Point, and just finished on Sunday, Winston-Salem. And after a long trip like that, what did I do? I came to last night's game. Great 10-5 win.
Exactly. It was a great 10-5 win. You're back here again tonight. So how many days straight of baseball has it been for you?
This is 14 games in 14 days with an off day. Threw in a professional softball game in there in Chattanooga. A couple former Lady Flames playing for the Florida Vibe. So a little bit of everything on that trip.
Yeah, you did see a little bit of everything. You mentioned the Lady Flames. You were the SID for Liberty softball. We'll talk about that when we get to the bottom half of the third inning, as Humphrey's already ahead of the count, 0-2 on Antonio Anderson. And a curveball, yes. Quick 1-2-3 inning. Jackson Humphrey. We'll step aside. Joe, don't go anywhere. We'll be back with you for more. Bottom of the third inning.
Chiropractor Dr. Rick Jamanek has been serving Lynchburg for more than 20 years. So you're suffering from
pain. Yeah, I'll talk a little more about your trip.
Yeah, that went way quick.
Dr. Rick Jamanek, you're dealing.
239-9077. So we'll talk a little more about the trip. I'll ask you about some of the highlights and stuff like that.
06-07, across the Bay of Mont Park. Hillcat fans, be sure to vote for your favorite Hillcat this year for a chance to win the Milwaukee Hardware Cup. This is a promo ball that you can buy to capture your votes to make more history in the
country. Okay,
whatever we announce, I appreciate you doing the watch during Fair Appreciation Night.
We never have like that.
Yeah, that was real quick. I was like, I figured it would be more like the first sitting where there is
a big one. That's the sharpest one of the ball season. It's a Skyline Diamond. It's a no cap. We'd like to wish a happy birthday to Hudson, who threw out the first pitch tonight. Thank you for coming, guys.
Bottom of the third inning, scoreless, as the Hillcats and Red Sox battled out for game number two of this series. The top of the order due up, Hawk, Velasquez, and Jury. As JoJo Gracia, Jason Willard, Carrie, are pleased to be joined yet again by Joe Carmody. Joe, you gave us the overview of your whole trip, all these different minor league ballparks. This time, kind of more of a
way on the
But Joe, what were some of the highlights, the different games that you went to? Maybe some of the fun promotions that you saw. It's always the crazy ones in minor league baseball.
Yeah, obviously some of the mascot races were fun. Yep. In Huntsville, you had the astronauts race. That was kind of cool. The next day in Nashville, had the Country Music Legends race. Dolly Parton on that one.
Tommy Hawk grounds out to second. A quick one pitch out for Ignacio. I don't know what it is, but he's
going to be with his game. 24, Rafferty,
obviously, Martin Park at Birmingham. Saw my first ever Tough Cup Challenge, which was an ice cream eating contest by dogs.
So I love that.
That was great. It was a lot of fun.
Velasquez pops it up to left field. Easy play for Lugo, as that'll be retired for out number two. Jason Churio will step in. Joe, we'll keep you around for the top of the fourth inning if we need to.
Oh, thank you.
So
don't worry about it too much.
Number eight.
But
we gotta speed this game up a little bit quicker.
Well, if only we had this last like 3.5 hour.
Well, yeah, that was the longest one. I think I didn't have any over 3 hours on the trip.
So they saved it all for you when you came back to Lynchburg.
It was a beautiful night last night. Unbelievable. The breeze, everything.
Did you have any cancellations or any weather delays while you were gone, or was it all good?
One weather delay at Gwinnett, 30 minutes.
That's really not bad whatsoever.
No, and it ended up being a 2-hour 5 game, so I was back in the hotel at 10 p.m., so it was great.
Wow, you can't really ask for a better planned trip than that. Just all these little details lining up to perfection. Sheridan takes downstairs, one ball, two strikes. I don't want to ask you another question until we know what happens with this at-bat here. We'll get back to this one concludes with Cheerio and Gracia in promotion. And it's top foul right off the foot of Cheerio. Any top prospects that you're able to see and get a look at that you can give us some insight on?
Well, the first game I was at was, first was Hickory, and I saw Sebastian Walcott, who's the number one prospect in the Rangers organization, got named to the Futures game, as did Cheerio and Velasquez. So, seeing some good prospects here.
They ring him up. Cheerio is retired. He's in disbelief. As a 1-2-3 third inning sends us to the fourth. Joe, don't go anywhere. Connor, don't go anywhere as well. We'll be back with more as we step aside in the scoreless ball game here in Lynchburg. What are you gonna do? We needed that last night, though.
Oh my gosh.
My voice was gone.
They're making up for it now.
Yeah. As my voice is coming back. Still not there. We'll do the score update. Their last score work on the Jason Prill here with you, alongside Connor Young and Joe Carmody. We'll get to the Carolina League scoreboard in the bottom half of the fourth quarter. Joe, there's probably nobody better to ask about the Carolina League than you. You probably saw half the team while you were on.
Well, actually, I saw the South Atlantic League. I saw 5 games there. I saw every stadium of that division except for Bowling Green.
Okay.
So Hickory, Asheville, Winston-Salem.
I'll tell you a fun story about Asheville and St. Louis.
All right.
I went to a game down there. But anyway, she worked in the kind of the promo team, Joe, and they were looking for people to do the games. She works at Brandon Files off the top of the clubhouse. And of course, they had to sign me up for it because I'm a lover. And so I get put on the frozen t-shirt.
Oh, no.
And they told me, they said, these are the most frozen t-shirts we've had all season long. They left them in there for about 3 days. These things are rock solid. And so I get out there. And when I tell you I won over the whole city of Asheville in about 20 seconds, they were cheering, chanting my name as I was pounding the t-shirt into the dirt, trying to get it to unfreeze. And I finally, as they were counting it down, was able to get the t-shirt fully unwrapped and over my head to win the game. And all they gave me I was sweating. And all they gave me was the free t-shirt that was frozen. So it's a little disappointing in that, but I won over the hearts and adoration of Asheville. So if you're ever down there and you see a poster of me or a big billboard,
that's why.
That's why. Sorry, Joe. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, speaking of Asheville, if you want to see home runs, go there. Mm. 373 to straightaway center, 297 with a huge wall to right. 100-year-old facility celebrated this year. And also, if you want a lot of soft serve, they really fill up the souvenir helmet there.
And that's the other thing. You collect souvenir helmets. Correct. You're able to get all of those while you're at the ballparks.
See, there were four that did not have them. I won't name those cities.
No names, please.
But I'm up to 49 different stadiums with mini helmets. I would be at about 56 or 57 if more. And there's one in the Guardians organization that will not be named that does not have senior helmets.
So you really nailed it down to about three other teams. It's going to be really hard to tell who that one is. But yeah, Joe, you're actually a Guardians fan yourself. You grew up in Ohio. So
yeah, Youngstown, born and raised.
Yeah, Youngstown, about, what, 2 hours from Cleveland?
About an hour and a half.
Hour and a half?
It was perfect. Hour and a half from Cleveland, hour from Pittsburgh. Got to PNC Park when I was in high school. Obviously college, and now after college. And I'm actually going to be there on Saturday. I'm starting my trip.
Your Major League ballpark trip.
I'll be with my parents for a couple of weeks in Ohio.
Well, that'll be fun. Ground ball over towards Fortnite. In the center field. Everybody will move up 90 feet towards that first and second. Nobody out. Joe, so you've been in Lynchburg for a little bit longer than the Hillcats have been in Guardians.
Correct.
For you, when you found out that the Guardians were taking over the affiliate for the Hillcats, how cool was that for you to be here for so long?
Oh, yeah.
Having your hometown team basically come visit and move in right next door.
It was unbelievable. I was here for the press conference. I was so excited. I think my brother was as well. That first year, Clint Frazier, Bradley Zimmer, some other names, Adam Plutko. The following year, we had Anthony Santander, who we lost in the World 5 draft, unfortunately, to those. He's turned into an all-star. Bobby Bradley was on that team, Justice Sheffield. So it goes on and on. You got the Beaver bobblehead, and, you know, just so many players. Stephen Kwan right now is tearing it up for the Guardians. So to see him here 5 years ago and see what he's doing now is just so cool. And because I would come to the games when the visiting team was the Guardians affiliate back when Hillcats were still the Braves. And now every night I can come out and see him. Future Guardians.
Down ball in the left field. They're going to put up a late stop sign. The runner falls from around third. And they quick slap the tag. As Brandon just able to get back. Good throw from Tommy Hawk. Instead of coming home with it, he hit the cutoff, man. Cutoff. Tried to get it to Ramirez. He's just unable to get the tag down. He controlled the ball. So base is loaded and nobody out. The bases are loaded. Scoreless ball game. Humphreys will face the game with Newton. It's not that he hasn't pitched well in this inning. It's just been an error. A ground ball that found the left field grass. But he hasn't been in this situation. David pauses out the numbers. And fires. Right in the center field. Churio charged me out. Slides! Makes the ground! He'll throw in. The runners can't figure out what's going on. They got him doubled up in third! My, oh my, what a double play! Granted, boneheaded base running. Didn't know whether to go back to the bat or to run home. And he hits the wrong in the two. He's doubled up.
For the Liberty softball fans listening, that is almost exactly like the double play that Mary Claire Wilson turned in the 7th or 8th inning of the conference championship game against Western Kentucky. Saved a run and probably saved the championship.
So speaking of that, Joe, you are the SID for Liberty softball. And softball is a growing sport all across the country right now. Liberty softball in general, it's been becoming more and more popular and a better program. I mean, you got Todd Richardson, who's an Olympian, who's a world-renowned softball player leading the program. So just the growth of that program that you've seen since you've been here. Talk to me a little bit about that.
And if anybody needs a Todd Richardson bobblehead, I got you covered.
I think I might need one.
Yeah, let me know. Just the explosive growth. In my first couple years, we were playing at the old facility, which is now a parking lot. I talk about the, I tell a joke, you know, they paved paradise and put a parking lot. I'm glad you at least appreciate that. But yeah, and then obviously the new stadium, 1,000 seats. You've done a lot of games there, Jason. It's one of the best, not only mid major, but just in the country. The facilities are amazing. The players that we've had have just done a great job representing the university.
Skied out toward right field, and would you believe it, Jackson Raptors gets out of the inning. Joe, before we go on one, we've got a full circle for that reason. Not this past season, but the season before. Liberty went into the NCAA tournament, kicked off UCLA.
That was unbelievable. That was probably the highlight so far of my 13 years covering Liberty softball. Just the hit, the slide, Rachel Root, by the SR yesterday. Every time I think of that picture, that iconic picture. But yeah, it was unbelievable. Natasha Watley on the call with the whole experience that I had. I guess also to go first, Clint Frazier, who was here the first year, I saw him play for the Charleston Dirtybirds in High Point on Saturday night.
Really?
Yeah, total full circle.
Total full circle. Well, Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a blast. Hopefully I can do another one next year.
Hopefully, we'd love to hear all about it. Well, Joe, we'll be back with more baseball. We come back to the bottom of the fourth inning. Tyler Young will take you to that
Great.
All right.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Joe. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, this the second half inning. Well,
I was like, oh, this is going to be a long time sitting by, so I could slow down my questions.
And yeah, and then the double play was a perfect segue to talk about softball.
Yeah.
They like messed up the throat. That's Pumphrey.
That actually wasn't the
baseball.
Oh, double play.
Thanks, Joe.
Yep.
Jumping right back into the action here at the Bank of the James Stadium, Esteban Gonzalez will lead off the inning on base after an error committed by, I believe, the first baseman Encarnacion. Throw from Zanatello, the shortstop, that needed to be scooped in the dirt. Not too bad of a throw, all things considered. It was just a one-hop. Encarnacion can't complete the squeeze. Esteban Gonzalez reaches safely. Gonzalez caught leaning back in time for the throw from Engracia, the left-hander, as Lynchburg will have a leadoff man on. Start off the fourth inning. Same could be said in the second. As in that inning, as Esteban Gonzalez is thrown out, Gonzalez slams his fist into the base in frustration. He's not a guy to make lapses like that on the base pass that often, but that's a costly one. As we saw some base running blunders from Salem one half inning ago, and Hillcats fall victim to the same thing here in the bottom of the fourth. So scratch the leadoff base runner as he's erased by Engracia, who does the dirty work for his infield that let him down on the error. One error for Lynchburg and Salem apiece. And Rafael Ramirez Jr. will fist this one onto the ground to the first baseman Encarnacion, who will make the play himself. Two down quickly for Engracia. The inning looked like going to be another troublesome one for the left-hander to work through, much like the second was. Juan Benjamin led off the inning with a double. However, he would retire the next three in order and then set the bottom of the third down in order. This is going to get under the glove of the third baseman, and Anderson, as Juan Benjamin puts together a two-hit day. Four hits for the Hillcats, two for Salem.
Number 11.
Hasn't been the cleanest start for either Jackson Humphreys or JoJo and Gracia, rather, but they've both been able to wiggle their way free of any damage. Juan Benjamin hopes to start a two-out rally. Manuel Mejias will look to help him out. First pitch to Mejias misses away for ball one. Mejias, he's been struggling at the plate lately. Despite his ups and downs as a hitter in 2024, one thing that has remained consistent is his ability to both get on base and avoid the swing and miss. His walk-to-strikeout ratio has been fantastic all season long, despite his occasional hitting woes. Currently, he's got 36 strikeouts to 32 walks. Second pitch to Mejias is in the same spot. Same result for home plate umpire Zach Hovick. Larry Pettis in the field. 2-0 count to the catcher. Chop foul. He is off balance on that swing. Had to brace himself, make sure he didn't fall over on his follow-through. Gracia, he's gone 3 2/3 innings, 3 strikeouts, no earned runs, 42 pitches. Not a bad pitch count at this point in the game. He'll continue to attack the outside part of the plate. This time a 92-mile-an-hour fastball finds the zone. Vern Gracia is coming off an outing in which he tossed 4 innings of 2-run ball in the loss to Fredericksburg. He struck out 8 in that game. Mejias will send one the other way, just barely foul. Oh, Benjamin was halfway to third base by the time that Uten was able to get to that foul ball. Matter of inches, potentially saving a run for JoJo and Gracia. Lynchburg coming off a game yesterday where every hitter in the Lynchburg lineup reached base, and all but two logged a base knock. 4 separate Hillcats picked up RBIs as well, as the offense really spread the wealth well on Monday. Esteban Gonzalez led off this inning getting on an error. He'd be picked off by JoJo and Gracia, a little overeager to get his 31st stolen base of the season. Juan Benjamin will go. Have to head back as Manuel Mejias gets a piece of that, sends it to the backstop, foul. Benjamin taking his time, retreating back to first. Mejias' average at 216. He's 0 for 1. Popped out to third base. Got crowded inside. Inside out swing. Juan Benjamin takes off again. Won't matter. Manuel Mejias fooled on an 82-mile-an-hour slider that started middle-middle, ended up by his ankles as Ingracia gets out of the inning with strikeout number 4. Jackson Humphreys, he's got 6 strikeouts in count, and he'll take on the top of the 5th when we come back from the Lynchburg Hillcast Radio Network. Baseball's future is here.
Thanks for coming.
No, yeah, good. Okay. Baby Tucker, top of the order. Zan Donatello due up here in the top of the 5th inning. And let's take this time to look at the Carolina League schedule for today. We haven't had the time to do so. Down East, they lead 5-0 over Carolina in the top of the 4th. They go 2-1 over Annapolis. No score between Charleston and Myrtle Beach. They've just played 1 inning, however. We got no score through 4. here in Lynchburg. Fredericksburg, Delmarva, 1-1 tie game. Columbia trails Augusta, who's been, ever since they left Lynchburg, the Green Jackets have been firing on all cylinders. They lead 1-0 at Segar Park in the top of the second inning. Jackson Humphreys found a way to survive. Two hits on him, one error, and a handful of walks. But no damage on the scoreboard for Salem quite yet. Jackson Humphreys also with 6 strikeouts today. He's had the strikeout pitch working. He's used the breaking ball to great effect in that regard, as well as the fastball. He's elevated that pitch, challenged hitters to great success. Daniel McIlvaney comes in batting under the Mendoza line at 192. He'll see an 88 miles an hour fastball in the top of the zone that just misses for Humphreys. Humphreys, most he struck out in a single game coming into today was 4, and he had done that several times this season, but already at 6. McIlvaney pulls one foul, squared it up too early.
Connor, I've been impressed with how Jackson Humphreys looks today. It's just more confidence on the mound. Even in the last inning when the bases were loaded and there was nobody out, those are the situations where we see him start to press a little bit and get a little bit too much nibbling around the edges, and then he loses his command and falls out of control. He escaped without allowing a run. And that's just the sign of somebody who's growing up, who's maturing, and I'm loving the progression. It's 53 pitches. We don't know how long of a leash they're going to give him. I'm assuming he'll probably get the rest of this inning if he can work quickly through it. But I've loved what I've seen from Humphreys today. This is the most complete pitcher and version of him that we've had all season.
Currently at 55 pitches. And yeah, there's not many opportunities you get when you're looking at a prospect to see statistical growth throughout a season, as McIlvaney will foul off a fastball in the outside half. But you look at Jackson Humphreys' month-by-month stats, and you can literally on paper see him developing. The ERA has improved every single month dramatically, and so is all of his other numbers. Really, it's been obvious to see how much more comfortable and polished he's gotten as this 2024 season has progressed.
And he's mixing his pitches.
Yeah.
He's not just relying too heavily on a fastball or a slider, but we've seen the changeup get mixed in and full hitters completely. And he's almost using his fastball as a secondary pitch at times.
There's strikeout number 7 right on cue. McIlvaney swinging through it. Thought it was a fastball. Got a changeup instead. Every pitch for Jackson Humphreys today seems to be A-tier stuff. He's been fantastic. Changeup he's worked in a lot more than we've seen in the past, and that's one of his best of the night.
He's closing in on 60 pitches, but over 35 of them have been strikes to this point in time, which is a good ratio for a guy who has tended to struggle with his command. Only 2 walks to this point in time, but I don't want to speak too soon, but the command has been there today, the confidence has been there, the ability to mix pitches and work counts in his favor. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Humphreys. Guardians fans should too.
Stanley Tucker 0-for-1 today. He grounded out the third baseman, Randall Dewey, that is. 1-1 count to him here. For Humphreys, I think the leash on how long he's been allowed to stay in ball games has been the tightest on him compared to every other Hillcast pitcher. The only person who's close, I think, is Alex Clemmie. But we've seen Clemmie go 70-plus pitches multiple times now at this point in the season, as Tucker completely fooled by the off-speed. Not a single Salem hitter has seemed to have any answers for that pitch from Humphreys. But Humphreys, we haven't really seen getting the allowance to do that. Now, that could come down to his performance, because Clemmie, much as we've talked about how Humphreys has improved this month, Clemmie's improved even more. His June numbers, let's talk about that on his start. They are fantastic, as Tucker evens up the count at 2-2. Be interesting to see if Humphreys gets some more leeway here in this game, where he's clearly on a roll. He's at 63 pitches now. 2-2 count to Tucker with one down. The 2-2 chopped to Aldewey. Goes to the left of the bag, foul.
Last season, they let him get up to 81 as his season high. This season, he's been kept more around the 65, 67 range.
Yeah.
So, I would imagine they could probably get him to maybe about 70 today, but I can't see him going much more.
They've been really careful with him, for sure. He's around that mid-60 mark now as this is chopped to Rafael Ramirez Jr. deep in the hole, a chance to show off the arm strength. He certainly had it. The stretch made from Rivas was good as well, however, not in time to catch the speedy Stanley Tucker.
That's really on the line for Humphreys. It would have been nice to see him to get a full 5 innings tonight, but his longest outing of the season, what a night for Humphreys as well. He leaves, having not allowed a run, picking up in July the same place he left off.
We up to the bullpen, which was good yesterday. Renny Artiles picked up the win out of the bullpen for Lynchburg, and Mark Bellin Vasquez took care of things the rest of the way. Lynchburg will look to go back to the pen tonight, trying to get the same results they could on Monday.
This early in the game?
He's been kind of bad lately. I don't know. They might be kind of bringing him down the order a little bit as far as the bullpen goes. Harlow will be the man of the game for Jordan Smith in the top of the fifth inning. And Jason, we haven't seen him enter ball games at this point very often. He's a team leader in saves, and he's been a late game guy. But his last outing was rough. 1 inning, 2 hits, 3 runs, and he did pick up a loss against Carolina.
He's been up and down. The start of the season was probably the best reliever out of the bullpen for the Hillcats. But since then, he's just started to lose a little bit more of his confidence. The long ball is kind of what pegged him for a little bit of time. And then he started losing his ability to kind of locate some of the pitches. And spiraled a little bit out of control. But it would be nice. We know he has the stuff to get him back on track. He's got a great arm. He's got a good slider. We really would love to see him. Hillcats would, and Cleveland would especially. He was a guy that could have gone in the top 5 rounds before he was injured. They'd like to see him get some of that confidence back and be pitching like he was at the beginning of the
year. Yeah, he's got a 3-2 record, ERA of 4.85 currently. Through 29 and two-thirds innings pitched, he's allowed 5 home runs. So you're right, the long ball has been an issue for Harlow, as it has for several Hillcats pitchers, especially in that bullpen. He'll challenge Zanatello on the first pitch. A 92-mile-an-hour fastball elevated that Zanatello can't keep up with. Lynchburg, they lead the Carolina League in home runs allowed with 54 on the season.
And his home runs really didn't happen until the month of May started. He gave up 3 in the month of May and then 2 in the month of four in the month of May, 1 in the month of June. But April, this is a guy that had a .75 ERA. Yep. He did not allow a run until his second time out against Salem on April 19th. He was that good and that sharp to start the year. And you wonder how much of it has to do with being a college arm and not having to pitch twice a week.
Sure.
And not having to pitch all the time. This is a guy that was being called upon pretty heavily, almost twice a series for much at the start of the year. When you're in college, you may get 2 innings,
right,
a week, if that. Because in college, you can pull guys out whenever you want. You can rotate guys in and out of the lineup. So maybe it's just a guy trying to find his stamina to work in minor league baseball. Because it is very different than it is in college.
Certainly is. He's got a fastball slider repertoire. Definitely reliever ask. He'll get Zanatello to strike out for the third time. Strike him out, throw him out, double play. Not in time to get Stanley Tucker. Josh Harlow comes into the game. The first hitter he sees has been the hottest for Salem so far in this short series, and he does away with him.
Good at bat there by Harlow. Would have been been nice to see Mejias get on the tunnel, but he ran on a slider. It's probably the right pitch to run on if you're going to run on anything. Fastball is pretty quick to home plate. He got a good jump and was able to slide in.
Bring up Antonio Anderson. Arlo, he picked up 2 wins out of the bullpen in the June series against Charleston, but his second win wasn't all that pretty. He did blow the save, allowing a home run before sticking it out, getting some help by the offense, and eventually getting the win. First pitch to Anderson in there on the outside half. Anderson doubled in the first on a ground ball that sneaked in between Aldewey and the third base bag. I'm surprised that was a double, honestly, especially with Tommy Hawk out in left field. He's usually pretty quick to the baseball. Got away from him enough to Antonio Anderson to show the speed and pull in a second stand-up.
That was hugging the line so much. I think Hawk thought it was going to go all the way to the corner, but it juts out right down for the very end where the bullpen is. Caught a piece of it. That's what messed up Hawk, is that he wasn't expecting it.
It's a 1-1 count to Anderson. Rafael Ramirez Jr. really wants to hold on Stanley Tuckett. Beautiful slider from Josh Harlow. So if Antonio Anderson's ready for that pitch, it could be trouble because it was located in the middle of the strike zone.
Like Antonio Anderson may have been a little bit distracted by what was going on at second base too, the way he just let that pitch go by.
Either way, Harlow will steal a strike. Count moves to 1-2 with 2 down. Orlo looking to get out of the top of the 5th. Elevates a fastball. Trying to challenge Anderson, however. Far too high to be all that tempting. Count evens up at 2-2 as 2s light up the scoreboard. 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 down. No runs across for either team. Goose eggs all the way through 4. Orlo's trying to make it 4.5. The 2-2. Popped up by Anderson. He's not going away quietly. Anderson, he's a guy who battles, that's for sure. Look at the Carolina League leaders in walks. He's number 5 with 47, sandwiched in between 2 Hillcats. Jason Churio at 3 with 50, and Velasquez with 45 at 6. Two, two once more. Pop straight up. Revis should have a play on it in foul territory. He calls off Benjamin, but Benjamin persists. He'll make the play. The inning will be over. He stayed scoreless through 4.5 here in Lynchburg, the home half of the 5th. Be up next in Lynchburg Hillcats.
All right, man, it's time for our legacy sing-along. We're going to get your vocal cords ready for this one here tonight. The Step Out Legacy Wealth Management, not just a plan for your money, but a plan for your life.
Joe said thank you.
Yeah, okay. On just one swing, they weren't able to push him across. It's been that timely hitting which the Hillcats had in droves last night and were able to capitalize on for the most part against Carolina the last series as well, that has evaded them so far here in game 2. Popped up for Revis, coming in as a center fielder Tucker. he'll make the play for the first out of the inning.
It's amazing how important timely hitting is. It's not necessarily about how many hits you get in the ball game, but when are you getting those hits? But they haven't been able to do anything when a guy gets a board. They haven't been able to move him over. And it's those productive outs that we're missing today that we had yesterday. Guys getting into a fielder's choice, a sacrifice fly. And the Hookcats had two of them sacrifice flies, which is great for a minor league. Have two of those in one game. And we're just not seeing that kind of movement around the bases, selflessness at the plate, as we saw yesterday.
Doing a great job setting the table, but after that, definitely been a lot to be desired for Jordan Smith's ball club. Franco Dewey tears off on one, misses by about 2 feet. Good pitch from Ingracia that clearly had the Hillcats third baseman today puzzled. He'll take a timeout. Count will move to 1-2 with one down for Old Dewey. Old Dewey, he's 0-1 with a strikeout. He was the second strikeout victim for Ingracia. And make it another. Two strikeouts for Fran Old Dewey, 5 for Ingracia, as the breaking pitch that did Old Dewey in.
Number 5.
He's got caught with a slider. He's going to be executed pitch by Ingracia. There's not much you can do with that one, but you still have to be a competitive in the at-bat. You know, just give up on a pitch that early.
Tommy Hawk, first pitch swinging once again, flared right into the glove of Antonio Anderson. Make the throw over to first base, to end the inning quickly. Gracia, at times, has just flown right through this Hillcat lineup. Neither offense has been able to put much together. Josh Farlow will head out to the top of the sixth for Jordan Smith, and he'll come back on the Lynchburg Hillcats radio network. Velasquez and Churio both with base hits, and then Benjamin with a pair. Multi-hit day already for the second baseman. He's average up to 259. Hillcats with no runs to show for. Humphreys, he went 4 1/3, 3 hits, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, a season high. Humphreys' ERA now at 4.54. How about that? Started off the season with an ERA up to infinity after he couldn't even complete an inning. He's brought it all the way down to the mid-4s. Here in his first start in July, Harlow, he's just gone 2/3 of an inning with 1 strikeout. He'll come out and approach the top of the 6th, led off by Brooks Brannan, who is one of the Red Sox hitters who have found some success today. No hits for Brannan, but he does have 2 walks in both of his plate appearances. Anderson with a hit, Encarnacion and Tucker, all with base knocks for the Red Sox.
When we go back to Humphreys, it's really been a story of 2 bad outings of the season. He has the 6-run outing that he gave up in his first start of the season, and then another 6-run outing against the same team in the middle of May. So other than that, he's been pretty sharp and pretty solid, giving up 2 runs or less in every outing. So he's been pretty lights out.
Second strikeout for Josh Harlow. He just overpowered Brooks Brannan there. First out on the top of the 6th inning on Alcantara. He got an 0-for-2 line at this point. He did reach on an error given by Rafael Ramirez Jr. in the top of the fourth inning. That's the inning where Jackson Humphreys really looked like he had himself in a whole mess of trouble. Bases were loaded. Jackson Churio turned the unconventional F8-5 double play that turned that inning on its head. And then credit to Humphreys for getting Andy Lugo, the next hitter, out with a shallow fly ball to right field. Marvin Alcantara, though, he started the business in the top of the fourth. And a 1-1 count is Josh Harlow, the righty reliever. So the Red Sox will see a lefty to start and now a righty out of the pen. He is. Can't glove the slider. Looks like it was going to be a close enough pitch. However, I think the decision for home plate umpire Zach Kovic was made a lot easier after Mejias can't receive it cleanly. Be a 2-1 count now. The 2-1. Woo! Look out! 92 up and in on your grill. Marvin Alcantara dances out of the batter's box, shakes his head. Be up in the count, 3-1.
He had to get out of the way quickly as that fastball got on him in a hurry and just kept running in on him.
The 3-1 delivery. Ball four. Goes back to the slider. Again, misses a little low. Though I do like the decision from Harlow to go to that slider in that spot. Mejias now looks like he was a little shaken up. Going to his gloved hand, which is always a bit scary.
We saw Robert Lopez get checked on yesterday. This one with Mejias. Also concerning because he didn't really even flinch that much, at least from our vantage
point. No, yeah.
And so something about what happened alerted Yuka Ogata and the rest of the coaching staff to an issue. He is getting checked out, looking, as you said, at that glove hand.
Not sure if it was related to that slider that Mejias didn't catch as I commented on, but that was definitely one that I expected him to glove. I don't know if it caught a weird part of his palm, just part of the palm that would be showing, not covered by the glove, depending on how loosely he wears his catcher's mitt, or something like that. Looks like they're potentially going to the fingers. It's really hard to speculate. But Yuka Ogata and Erlen Cerda, over the watchful eye of Jordan Smith, are talking things over with Manuel Mejias. Josh Harlow will try to keep the arm warm with Juan Benjamin at second. Mejias will stay in the game for now.
That's a good sight, because Lynchburg, you have Rivas as another catcher, but he's not a true catcher. He hasn't played very much. He has about 10 games of experience behind the plate in the ACL. Otherwise, he's been a shortstop. And he's at first base. Richard Paz is already injured. And you don't want to put Robert Lopez out there every single day. So you still need to keep Mejias healthy.
And there's not too many shortstop catcher first basemen roaming around out there. That's what Rivas is right now. First pitch strike to Freely Encarnacion. Batting 265 on the season. He's 1-for-2 today with a single. Encarnacion swings through an outside slider. Good one from Harlow. So we get ahead 0-2.
That was a nasty pitch. Encarnacion was pulled all the way in. That just kept running farther and farther away. He could not lay off. His eyes just lit up. He thought it was hanging.
Certainly let off his A swing. Ended up looking foolish. The 0-2 right past him. 91 on the gun for Josh Harlow. He's already picked up 3 strikeouts.
Good luck for Harlow. We haven't seen this version of him in quite some time. It's looking more like the April version of Harlow. Now, I want to see how long of a leash they give him. He hasn't been very far in the ballgame. He's already up over 20 pitches. So my guess is this might be his final batter. But he's done his job at least extending the ballgame just a little bit.
Right there with you, Jason. He just looks confident on the mound.
How about the job that Tony Arnold's done with this pitch this time?
For sure.
We came into it after the first series at home. We're like, oh boy, I don't know what we're going to get from this pitching rotation, this bullpen. And then the rotation sharpened up quite nicely.
Yeah.
Like, well, we don't know what we're going to get from this bullpen. And now the bullpen is looking sharp as well. Tony Romo's done an outstanding job. And there's nobody maybe in minor league baseball right now that has more experience than him as a pitching coach. He's been in minor league baseball since the 80s. Been with Cleveland for nearly just as long. He has been outstanding for this team. Players listen to him. They have his respect. And he fights for it. He does an excellent job making sure that every game plan is good and ready to go. The guys are on the same page. They're out there pitching confident.
2-0 count to Uten. Grounds it up the middle. Playable for Benjamin. He'll make the backhanded snag. The throw to Rivas. He tries to slap the tag on in an athletic manner. That's why you got a shortstop over there at first. However, he can't slap it on. It's a wild throw from Benjamin, who clearly being taken by the momentum. Didn't set his feet to let that go. Trying to get him on the run. It's really all he had time for. Everyone's safe.
That's what you can really do in that situation. Look at it. Like, well, maybe he should have gone to second. You didn't really have time for that. You throw it over to first, and you have to rush your throw. Great job by Rivas just to keep that that was sailing high and away from him. He made the smart decision, came off the bag, and got a good extension to try to keep that part.
Even had the wherewithal to try to slap the tag on as well. Whirl around and try to grab some jersey. First pitch to Lugo in their first strike. Andy Lugo's an interesting case. Comes in with a 256 average. No home runs on the season, but he's tied for the most doubles in the Carolina League with 21. Interesting to see a guy with 21 doubles not have a single home run. Good back pick, and that's close. They got him. They catch Uten sleeping at the wheel. Manuel Mejia is with a dart. Rivas takes care of the rest as Josh Harlow helped out the top of the sixth inning a little early. We're scoreless. Dylan Lynchburg knotted up 0-0. You're listening on the Lynchburgcast Radio Network.
In 3, 2, 1, and off. I'm going to put the scoreboard. Time to run. You guys let them hit it. Let them hit it. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Yeah, 15, 14.
Trenor O'Donnell into the game for Liam Carroll. Jojo Gracia, not a bad day at the office. We'll take a look at his numbers before we introduce you to it. O'Donnell. Gracia, he goes 5. 4 hits, 5 strikeouts, that's it. His ERA plummets all the way down to 2.17 at the end of the day. He has a claim to be the best pitcher in this Salem rotation. This Salem rotation is actually one of the best in the Carolina League this season. Jason, Trenor O'Donnell comes in at a tough spot. 0-0 game. He's got the top of the lineup here in the bottom of the sixth inning.
He's also been one of the best bullpen guys. We saw us hit some yesterday. Look out for him to get to him. O'Donnell, he's another tough cookie to crack. He's 3-2 with a 2.80 ERA and just over 35 innings, 39 strikeouts for 11 walks. He's not a guy that passes around too often. Holding hitters to a 2.09.
He'll be tasked with Ralphie Velasquez.
Tall right hander, too.
Yeah, he is. Talked about how good Sansone has been. Lynchburg was able to get to him, but this is a Salem pitching staff, starters and bullpen included, has the third best ERA in the Carolina League at 3.48. 3.48 for a staff is an impressive number. Ralphie Velasquez was looking to send that ball deep over the wall in right field.
I wonder if those numbers are a bit inflated this year. just because of how bad some of the lineups are in Carolina League this season. I mean, offense has been rough all across the board.
Ralphie Velasquez into right field, and that's fair. That's going to roll all the way to the wall, and Ralphie Velasquez will be in the second with a breeze.
Have been one of the road exceptions. Evan Carolina and Canada's really in terms of offensive production. Velasquez is turning the corner a little bit. Another two-hit night back to back games. Goldcap second leadoff double of the night.
Right, their second leadoff double. They're hoping to do more with this one than they could muster in the bottom of the second. They'll have Churio, Esteban Gonzalez, and Rafael Ramirez Jr. try to put something together. Not to mention, JoJo and Gracia is out of the ballgame. But Jason, I want to quickly go back to that play from Rivas at first in last half inning. You wouldn't know that this is one of his first games playing first base at this level. He looks like a natural over there.
That's the kind of play that you would expect somebody like Rafael Velasquez to be working for. Sneaking up behind the runner with his guy on second base and catching him leading off guard, and then slapping the tag quickly on it as he dives back in the base. That's something that you'd expect from Ralphie Velasquez. But for Rivas, a guy who's a natural shortstop, he's a middle infielder, he's flexing over to first base tonight. He's not even listed as an infielder on the official roster. He's listed as a catcher.
Yep.
Because that's what they brought him up with to fill that hole. But tonight, he's over at first base. And just the awareness, and I don't know what kind of communication there's been before the game between him and the Heat, but to be on the same page like that, slap that tag, was a beauty to play.
Jason Churio works a good hitter's count. Who's surprised? He had four walks yesterday, which leads the team for a single game performance. With runners in scoring position this year, I mentioned it last night, but Jason Churio, he holds a team best batting average of .397. He finds himself in that situation. The 3-1 in there at 88 brings it full. This is who you want in this spot, Jason.
If there's anybody that's going to drive home the runner, it's going to be Churio or Juan Benjamin. Benjamin a couple batters away, so let's leave it up to Churio.
The full pop straight up. Antonio Anderson with some room to run. Coming in is the left fielder Lugo, who will make the grab.
Anytime you say Lugo's coming in out of baseball, there's a little bit of hesitation. Just because he doesn't have a natural position. That's a tough play. It looks easier than it actually is to come out of the shadows into the sunlight. You can lose the ball very easily when you do that. He's stuck with it. He's able to get underneath it. What?
Gonzalez 0 for 2. The fielder's choice that did him in the first, and then he reached on an error in the fourth. Would quickly be picked off by JoJo Ingracia on the base pass. He'll bat with a runner in scoring position. First pitch, right under the glove of Anderson. It's going to be tough for Velasquez to run on. This is shallow left field. Jordan Smith knows it. He'll hold him up. And Esteban Gonzalez, he will increase his hit streak to 11 straight games. And here's some stats for you on Gonzalez's now 11-game hit streak. He holds a batting average of .432. He's driven in 9 runs, stolen 7 bases through that streak. There's a reason why he's your reigning Carolina League Player of the Year.
I can imagine he's probably going to try to run here, too, given the opportunity. He's just been outstanding. He's all around just a good gamer. He's got power. He's got contact. He's got speed. He's good defensively as well. That's the kind of guy that you want, and you want to keep your eyes on through the organization.
I mean, how many guys in all of baseball have 30-plus stolen bases in a slugging percentage over .500 right now?
It's got to be very little.
Gonzalez will take off. He's looking for number 31. McIlvaney does throw down on the first and third. This one a whole lot less costly than the Hillcats' first and third attempt last night, although Esteban Gonzalez does swipe his 31st of the season.
This time, Zanatello charges in on it a little bit more to make the play in right on the edge of the grass and the dirt rather than at the bag. Which is why Ralphie ended up holding up at third.
No one count to Rafael Ramirez Jr. He's been pulling the ball. That's going to be a run plated for Lynchburg. Ralphie Velasquez will go back to the dugout, get a high five from Rafael Ramirez Jr. And Esteban Gonzalez will move up 90 feet as well. So still a runner remains at third base for Ramirez Jr. And the Hillcats finally have played in a run. And in this ball game, sure, it's an unusual way to score, but it feels like a huge notch in the score column for Lynchburg.
I love the delayed celebration by the Lynchburg crowd because they didn't know what was called until they realized that Ralphie Velasquez was touching home. There's a balk on O'Donnell, and we've seen that quite a few times. It's been a point of reference for umpires the last two seasons. Look for more balks. They certainly have done that.
0-2 to Ramirez Jr. Oh, and that's a good pitch. Ramirez Jr. doesn't agree, but I do think that was a strike. As O'Donnell tries to make up for the costly balk. Now he'll be up to Juan Dentzman with two down, but he's 2-for-2 today. You talk about hitters who like going up to the dish with runners in scoring position. Juan Benjamin's got to be close to the top of your list.
You mentioned Churio. Benjamin has the second best average.
He bounces a soft one to the second baseman Alcantara to end the inning. Lynchburg, they plate Ralphie Velasquez thanks to a balk. The Hillcats lead it 1-0 through 6. You got it. You can go.
And at this time, we have all of our military complete rise. If you now serve or are currently serving, please rise so that we can show you our appreciation.
Seventh inning. Andy Lugo, who was at the plate, and Daniel Newton was thrown out straining a little bit off the bag at first. A great snap throw from Nambo Matias down to Kevin Rivas. No pass. Down the back to the bottom half of the inning, and it would be a balk. The ball game, 1-0 in our score. That's Andy Lugo. Trying to get his first hit tonight. I mentioned he is right near the top of the Carolina League in doubles this season. It's been his fielding that's been his question mark all season long. He skies this one, first base side. Reeves battling the sun. Reaches up next to that. It wasn't as easy. But he can still make the draft.
Yeah, look real good over there. I know it's a routine pop-up, but that ball was tailing at the end. And Juan Benjamin, you can tell, he's shading over to that side and really trying to help him out, it looks like. You talk about a guy who knows what it's like to play first base when you're not used to it. Juan Benjamin, sitting right next to him, sure knows how that feels. But Rivas, he sticks it out and is able to put that one away.
McIlvaney, he's having a better day behind the plate, but not as well of a day after this. He's 0-for-2 today. Yesterday, he reached base all four times he came to the dish. Kind of flip-flopping from what we saw last time. That slider wraps in 79, 1-1.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we see Brooks Brannan do any catching for Salem. He's DHing today, played first yesterday.
1-1. Missing high and wide. Two balls and a strike.
I mentioned Kyle Teal, the catcher in the Red Sox organization last broadcast. He, of course, played his collegiate ball at UVA, and he will also be joining Ralphie Velasquez and Jason Chirio at the Futures game in Arlington, Texas.
Spun him back. Three balls and a strike.
A lot of talent in that game.
I sure would hope so. It is the Futures game, but no, I get your point there, Connor. It's going to be fun for guys like Jason Chirio and Ralphie Velasquez to be around that quality of talent. As McElvaney draws his first walk of the night, Stanley Tucker will dig in.
Get a good number 10.
If you're around that kind of competition, it's only going to help your profession.
Yeah.
You're not going to send a guy to that game and be worried about studying. It's only going to benefit him to see things. If they see what the other players do, what they train with, especially these AAA guys that are going to be there, AA guys, what's their preparation like? How do they get ready for a game? Yes, I know it's not exactly the same as it would be on a regular night, but this is their opportunity to make impressions, all the players in the Futures. And let's be honest, we have to talk about the fact that the trade deadline is coming up and the Futures game is going to be a high brow mark for scouts. Brown ball over towards second. Benjamin will pick on the turn on the play. And so, for guys, that's pretty well. They might take it a little bit more seriously. If they're playing for a team that the parent club is struggling and they're going to be, is really good and they're going to be buyers at the deadline, this could be their opportunity to maybe latch on somewhere and make their pro debut somewhere if they're in triple. So being around guys like that, you're going to see just what it takes to make it at a high level. And I can't wait to hear all about their journeys there when they come back. Strike one and on Zanatello. And see the impact and the changes that are made in just the day-to-day for these guys.
Here we go, singing loud and proud.
But I can see an argument for where it hit off the edge. The way it ricocheted off and the speed in which it did that, I don't know how that was not a foul ball.
Yeah, you don't see it very often, at least.
I thought it hit the handle.
Yeah. I thought it hit the elbow. That's why I thought it won. And I thought the only reason why he wasn't going to first immediately was because they were even saying he swung into him. But it turns out that definitely, he did have a little bit of trouble watching in a slider earlier today. So potentially could be the same issue there.
In there for a strike to Mejias, but it still worked in the Hillcats' favor. They were able to get out of the jam. In the inning, Harlow picked up the strikeout. Now he is down 0-2 here in the bottom half of the seventh inning. Lynchburg leading at 1-0, one score out of Paul. That's how, I don't want to say bad the offense has been, but how not clutch.
Yep.
As
That's crowded over towards court. An easy play for Donatello. What a way.
We compare it to yesterday's game where they put together 15 runs between the two of them. It's been exactly the opposite. It looks like both are having to work extra hard to put anything on the board. Gotta give credit to, of course, the starters Humphries and Gracia, but especially on the Hellcats side, the bullpen has just been Josh Harlow to this point. You assume we're gonna see a new reliever next inning. But Harlow was fantastic. He came in and did his job. He was reminiscent of his April appearances.
First pitch. In there for a strike to Rivas. O'Connell delivered a fastball at 89. I think O'Donnell will be kicking himself if this game ends in a 1-0 final line. Booted by the first baseman in from Osceola. As easy as a play as you can imagine for a first baseman, he punches his mitt in frustration. It was a little ground ball. He just kept booting it.
No bad pop. No nothing. That ball just looked like it was greased up or something. He couldn't find a way to corral it.
And now Dewey. Take down and away for ball one. It hasn't been a clean series so far. Yesterday we had four total errors. Two of them came on one play for Salem.
Costly, too.
Yeah. Double steal and score two. Not as poorly executed as you could get from the Red Sox yesterday. Rivas takes off. Pitch misses well, and Mulvaney couldn't get it out of his glove. Rivas picks up the stolen base. Randall Dewey moves in to a 2-0 count.
They've got the second most steals of any team in the Carolina League. The only team with more is the Charleston River Dogs. And that's where they get all their offense, pretty much, in Charleston.
Just upstairs, he swung through it 2-1. Yeah, you're exactly right. Charleston, maybe not a good lineup, but they have speed. That's something that the Rays have targeted as an organization. We got a guy like Chandler Simpson last year.
Yep.
Who just tore the dirt off the ground with his cleats with how much he was running. 2-2 is all Dewey swung through it. There's a time where we thought that Guy Lipscomb might be able to match him swipe for swipe. And then Simpson just took control, never let off the gas pedal, just kept running.
That's kind of been my impression of Hillcats teams in the recent history. It's maybe the lineup hasn't been as juiced up as ours is this year, but they just been running. We've seen that still, even in 2024.
2-2 live into that field. That'll be over the goal. And the third baseman, Dewey, holds on to Rivas at third. And it throws offline to the backstop. Here comes Rivas. He will score down the third, throws on Dewey. And another throwing error by the left fielder. And this series gives Lynchburg a bonus run. Yesterday,
number 5, Tommy.
That is a huge run for Lynchburg.
What is Andy Lugo doing on that play? Rivas wasn't running. He wasn't at it home. And he muscled back, reached back, and threw that ball as hard as he could, way offline, when Rivas, again, was not running. He could have hit the cutoff man. We've got a first and third situation here. Instead, he barrels one down to McIlvaney, throws it way offline, all the way to the backstop. A run scores, and Aldewey is now 90 feet away from putting up the third run in this game. That's really bad.
That throw was nowhere close. McIlvaney tried to get in front of it, but it was pretty much out of the circle at home. The 1-1 to Tommy Hawk misses out wide. 2-1. All Tommy Hawk needs right now is just a hard shot for someone. Not directly out of defender.
Tommy Hawk looking to increase his hit streak to 8 straight games. Fills his on-base streak, which is at 19.
That one misses low. 3-2. Take a walk here. Tommy Velasquez on the deck because he had such a nice swing last game to get off double. It was the first run of the ball game. Here's the pitch. Hawk taking all the way. It's called strike. Full count.
Infield pulled in at every stop.
Here's the payoff. Ball four. That'll add another notch to the on base streak for Tommy Hawk. Bring up the other game.
Number 24. Around the
situation. Just the first walk of the appearance. O'Donnell and Juan Rivera gonna be sprinting out to the mound. He wants to make sure everyone is on the same page with those two. This isn't the same situation they found themselves when Ralphie Velasquez at their base. You've got a speedster on either corner. Tommy Hawk is not staying put for long, I can guarantee you that. And I wouldn't even be surprised if O'Donnell does his best to try to pick him off like they did to Esteban Gonzalez earlier in this game.
And in that situation, if you're Tommy Hawk, just get a rundown.
Yeah.
But the way that Salem has been throwing the ball around the bases the first two games, just get a rundown and then force a play somewhere. Because at this point in time, it has not been pretty for the Red Sox.
Certainly hasn't. If you're Lynchburg, you're definitely looking to create some chaos on the base paths here. Not to mention, you've got Ralphie Velasquez at the dish. He's two for three today. 2 for 5 yesterday.
Runners at the corners, one down. Throw over to first, nothing doing. Doing watching carefully and intently.
Velasquez at average getting a lot closer to 270. It hasn't been in that stratosphere of several series.
Fakes for second. Fastball in there for a called strike on one.
One thing I will say, if you're going to put on a steal, if you're Jordan Smith, you want to do it fast. You don't want to take this at bat away from Ralphie Velasquez where he's taking two pitches to let Tommy Hawk to go when he finds himself in an 0-2 count.
He wants to see a hit and run. They throw back over. Hawk stumbled back to first. If you're Jordan Smith, I would consider maybe a hit and run.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be expecting Ralphie to just kind of give up and let the runner go down to second and let the base pass do the talking. That could be a perfect time for him to take a big hack. Hawk takes off. The check swing, they fake the throw down to second. And it kind of looked like maybe it was a hit because he wanted off.
Yeah. I think that's a good result, though. You got two runners in scoring position, and now an even 1-1 count on a pitch that wasn't close. Great to run off for Tommy Hawk as well.
1-1 from O'Donnell. Infield pulled in. Right in the right side field. And drop in front of Eaton. That is for a run. The throw comes in. Cut off as Lynchburg takes a 3-0 lead and RBI super for Boston. His third hit of the night. What a night.
You can't tell me that there's not an extra pep in Ralphie Velasquez's step after the news he heard this morning. Great hand delivered from his father. He's been on a tear. It's back to what we've seen in April or in early May from Ralphie today. Even you go back yesterday, he put good swings on the ball just about every at bat. Went 2 for 5, hit the ball hard even when he was retired. That's a big RBI. The Hillcats now lead 3-0, which fuels double that in the game we played today.
Mason Cherio now with an RBI opportunity. He spits on one out wide for ball. We'll see if they do the double steal here with Velasquez on first. Ralphie had a stolen base yesterday. Might as well test the arm of Nickel Bates. He's yet to throw anybody out. They will. Velasquez goes running. The throw is high, and they don't get a tag down. Hawk holds it third. That was stolen base for Ralphie Velasquez. He's trying to pile those things up.
Surprised Tommy Hawk didn't go there. I thought he had a pretty good chance. Not to mention, Zanatello had to leave his feet to catch that ball, which means, of course, he has to fall back down to the ground, make the throw. Stay put.
Velasquez now has 7 stolen bases on the season. Cherio takes high and wide, 3-0.
And if you walk Churio, you've got Esteban Gonzalez right behind him. Which, even if you load up the bases and put a double play in order, that's one of the toughest guys to double up.
Yeah.
The 3-0, Churio taking all the way as per usual, 3-1. You don't want to go at Churio because he's the best hitter for the Hillcats with runners in scoring position. You don't want to go around him because you have one of the fastest guys in all of minor league baseball behind him. Churio pops it up. Going to be a shallow play for Tucker. There's someone underneath it. Bob tagging from third. And Tucker didn't even
pay attention.
No throw. What was Tucker thinking?
Did you see the first baseman, the cutoff man, Encarnacion there? He literally put his hands up like, what are you doing?
You got to know the situation. That was about as shallow of a pop fly that you can score a run on as you will ever see. That was, what, 15 feet off the dirt?
I mean,
who gets the RBI?
Hawks fast, but you got to put a play. At least a home plate there. Tucker, that's just a bad look.
I'm speechless, I think is the word on that one. I know the throws haven't been great. You got to go after that one. Gonzalez pops it up right back to him. This time there's two downs, so he doesn't even have to worry about Nate. Now to let him in. Lynchburg puts three on the board. They lead 4-0 as we head to the eighth. Here in Lynchburg. Lynchburg, okay.
Andrew has to be back in action tomorrow, July 3rd at 6:30 p.m. in game 3 of the 6-game series. It's going to be Meeting Wednesday. We'll have $1 hot dog. Make sure to get your tickets now on LynchburgNationalCast.com. And then Thursday night, the only fireworks show in town will be after game 4 of the series in Salem Red Sox. You can save $2 on your tickets if you purchase them early. Make sure to get your tickets now at LynchburgNationalCast.com. Again, at the same time again, Lynchburg Hillcats will be hosting our annual youth baseball clinic at Vegas Bay Stadium on Monday, July 15th and Tuesday, July 16th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon.
The complexion of this game, from where we were at the top of the seventh inning to the top of the eighth inning, is completely different. It was a 1-0 game going into the start of last inning. It's a 4-0. Brett Parra will take over on the bump for the Hillcats. Parra replaces Arlo, pitched quite well. Arlo came out, went 2 2/3, no hits, no runs, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Parra, he's had some pretty solid outings this season. Dropped his ERA to 450 ERA. That one bad outing kind of skewed him up.
Yeah, he was phenomenal on June 28th against Carolina. Picked up a scoreless 4-inning save for Lynchburg in a close 1-run game. Thing about Parra that's exciting, he can work that fastball up to 97.
That's driven in the right center field, and Antonio Anderson is lead off the inning with a single. Salem has to make their move now. They trail by 4. They trailed by 4 at this point in the ball game yesterday. But that felt like a different complexion.
Yeah.
Of the ball.
Yeah, it felt like you can pick up 4 runs in a half inning and not shock anyone. Today, feels like if you're going to put that many runs on the board in one inning, then there's going to have to be some serious defensive blunders on the other end. We just saw that in the bottom of the seventh from Salem.
In there for a strike to Brooks Brandon. 3 errors on the Red Sox right now, as you mentioned, those defensive blunders. The 0-1, big swing and a miss. Right two.
For Parra, we talked about the 97 mile an hour fastball. he'll rely on that heavily. He won't see it at 97 every pitch, but he can work it up that fast to put someone away if needed. He's also got a slider and a changeup.
Popped up to right field. Gonzalez will track it down for out number one. Anderson will have to go back.
Strikeout and walk, and he reached on air the top of the fourth inning, committed by Rafi Ramirez. Still, although improved defensively, has shown some miscues at shortstop after coming back from injury a couple series ago. He is a primary shortstop. He didn't get a lot of time there before his injury due to Angel Hanau being on the club. But since Angel Hanau has moved up to High A Lake County, that position has opened up for Rafael Ramirez Jr., but you would like to see him be a little more sure-handed over at shortstop. Something Angel Hanau was in spades for Lynchburg.
He was outstanding defensively. It was a joy to watch him for a while. Now he's killing it up in Lake County,
yeah,
too. He just won their Captain of the Week award after an outstanding series.
He's special.
Foul back to the screen, too. Did you see the promotion that Lake County did?
I didn't know.
The, I guess it's not a promotion.
Oh, the toilet thing?
Installation, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a crappy promotion.
Pretty good.
Been waiting to break that one out. Felt pretty good. A nice relief. In the right field, Gonzalez on the run again. Into foul territory. Collides with the wall. Bounces out of the glove. He caught it again. How about that? We have seen some outstanding defensive plays today from the outfield. Curio with the diving double play in center. And that one right there, as Gonzalez caught it, hit the wall, it popped out of his glove, and he caught it again.
Incredible.
So two down as Fraley Encarnacion will step in as Salem on the verge of wasting an opportunity, the leadoff runner getting aboard. 0-1 from Parra. Oh, a half-hearted swing by Encarnacion. He was pulled on the breaking ball.
Beautiful pitch from Parra. Esteban Gonzalez, what a catch. He's been so good in the outfield, both of the corners.
Two-strike pitch from Parra. Down to the way. 1-2. You couldn't see it on the broadcast, but it popped out of his glove.
Yep.
And he was able to stick with it. 1-2. Missing high and wide. 2 balls and 2 strikes. I have a tough angle. You have a little bit of a better angle of it down the right field line just because of where we're positioned in the box.
It juts out from the bullpen a little bit.
So I was kind of blocked, but I saw it as he kind of turned around, the ball squirt loose from his glove. He was able to re-secure it. The 2-2 was popped up out of play.
Love that three-pitch sequence we just saw from Parra. And a 1-2 count to start, or no 2 count to start, he goes back-to-back fastballs at 95, just trying to challenge Encarnacion. Both miss, and Encarnacion doesn't bite. Comes back with a slider. Beautiful.
The 2-2. Lined up for the backhanded play by Benjamin and a pick by Weaver. Behind the bag at second. Warren Benjamin. Another outstanding defensive play by the Hillcats. 2 in the inning. We have the bottom half of the eighth. Another chance. The last chance for the Hillcats. Tack on a few more. And we're going to have
Brought to you by the greatest country of all time. 105 KC Country, online at KCCountry.com.
The Lynchburg Hillcats are proud to partner with Share Greater Lynchburg and collaborate with Health Pediatrics to bring the community champion program to Lynchburg for the 2024 baseball season. This program will recognize youth groups who have shown exceptional levels of hard work, determination, leadership, and sportsmanship. Participating groups will be recognized during the Lynchburg Hillcats fun game through complimentary tickets, a PA announcement, and a group photo on the Hillcats video board. To learn more about the Community Champions Program, please reach out to us at 434-528-1144. That's 434-528-1144.
Brenner O'Donnell's day is done as Connor Steinball will take over the six-foot right-hander.
Yes, another guy out of the bullpen for the Red Sox with a sub-3 ERA. Comes in with a record of 2-2 ERA at 2.19 and 11 walks and 23 strikeouts. Opposing hitters are batting under the Mendoza line against him this season at 182. His last outing, he went 3 innings. Just 1 hit, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. No runs across on Steinbach.
Big swing and a miss from Rafael Ramirez Jr. on the first pitch for strike one. O'Donnell, 4 hits in 2 innings, 4 runs, 3 of them were earned, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. That's Connor Steinbaum. Fires that out wide. 1-1.
Rafael Ramirez Jr., 0-3 today in danger of getting that 5-game hit streak snap. That's his longest hit streak of the season.
There, 1-2. Nice to see him get out another one. Lynchburg leads it. 4-0. Leaping attempt by Altuve. Another nice swing. Rafael Ramirez Jr. We have seen some great at bats from him. Pure swings.
He's looking like a top prospect. He really is. He's a sweet swinging shortstop. Now, the shortstop part of things certainly could be improved upon, but hey, that's why he's at this level, right? And Erwin Cerda is out there with him pregame every single day, just barreling balls off the fungo to him.
He takes off, the throw is well offline. They probably would have had him if it was in a good position. Ramirez now in scoring position for Juan Bento, which is exactly what the Hillcats wanted. His 7th stolen base of the season. Steinball out of the University of Akron in Ohio. Originally from Georgetown, Illinois, but made his trek to the Northeast Ohio area. Played for the Zips. Ball foul, 0-2. Zips overshadowed as a baseball program by their, it's not cross-town counterparts, 30-minute drive counterparts, Kent State. Have one of the best mid-major programs in the Midwest. Actually, if we're being honest, probably one of the best Midwest programs in the country. The Midwest is not known for its baseball. The college program. 2-strike pitch. Called strike 3, a high changeup for Benjamin.
Yes, sir. I'm on my way.
That really put them on the map as a premier mid-major baseball program. That's fouled away by Manuel Mejias. They are consistently one of, if not the best teams in the Mid-American Conference.
But I think Kent State, one person comes to mind, and this is a very obscure sports reference, so I apologize, but I think you might like it, Jason, as a Browns fan. Josh Cribbs.
Oh, yeah.
Went to Kent State. He was one of my favorite players growing up.
He was
electric.
Electric. One of the best return men in NFL history. And I know a lot of people want to talk about Devin Hester because of how good of a punt returner he was. But Devin Hester played on good football teams. Josh Cribbs, and I can say this because I'm a Browns fan, he did not play on good football teams.
No.
I mean, those were teams that won 3, 4, 5 games a year. I know because I watched them. And he was just such a star. An undrafted prospect is, he has swings through it 2-2. But they just were overshadowed by how good Josh Cripps was. Every time he touched the ball, you had a feeling that something was going to happen. And just the return against the Pittsburgh Steelers,
yep.
It goes viral every single year. That's a fastball that he has frozen by. There's two away. But that return where he was trying to let it go either out of bounds or out of the end zone for a touchdown, and he picks it up.
Just takes it.
And runs it up the sideline, breaking tackles of Steelers. I mean, in the history of that rivalry, and we talk to Steelers fans, it's not a rivalry, it's a one-way street. He just takes it the other way. He was going to lay it on the third, no throw. Getting out of the ball game. An RBI for Revis. His third of the season. Find a nothing advantage here in the Hill City.
That feels like a backbreaker for Seattle. 5 runs in this game, and they're trying to be shut out in full by Jackson Humphreys and company. Big hit for Revis. Talked about timely hitter, how it was evading the Hillcats earlier in this game. They found it the back half.
Throw over nothing doing. They have 10 hits now. They've hit the double digit mark. Going back to Josh Cribbs, Kent State. It's 2012. Kent State made the College World Series for the first time. It's a throw over. Yet again, Revis being held close. And I do not quote me on this because at that point I was still in dentistry. I'd have to do my research, but I am pretty sure as Revis takes off the pitches, perfect one to throw down on. That's the best throw of the week. Mickle Beatty got him on ceiling for Revis, but I'm pretty sure Tom Hamilton's son, any play-by-play radio voice for the Cleveland Guardians, believe he was step aside and give you that firm confirmation.
Coming this summer to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Thank you to Jimmy Jake for the Lance Game Supply Center for sponsoring the Hillcats Browser. Go to JMJ for all of your residential and commercial landscaping supply needs, located at 14179 Ward Road across from the Lynchburg Airport, or visit us on the web at jmjcompanies.com for more information.
Sox, and I can confirm Nick Hamilton, son of famed Cleveland Guardians broadcaster Tom Hamilton, was a part of that 2012 Kent State World Classic ball club that made it to the College World Series. He was their shortstop. He said he was actually drafted by the Indians in 2012 as well. Year that they went on their miraculous run. Taking the 35th round. We played a couple of seasons last week in about 2014 before getting released. He had a career minor league average of 224. Son of Tom Hamilton. Hit one ball to play. In minor league baseball. Oh, let's see. There's a little interesting bit of trivia. Very cool. Daniel Uten swings through strike one as he reaches the top of the ninth inning. 5-0. Missed downstairs in one ball to baseball. It's fun how those connections kind of get weaved from Connor Iden. He said it was an obscure reference to Josh Prince.
Yeah.
But you talk to anybody in Cleveland, he is on the forefront.
Really?
Of
I love his voice.
He has a TV show.
Really?
Yes. We need to find the name of this TV show.
I had no idea about that. No, he was legitimately one of my favorite players from Trump. I thought he was so cool.
Cribs in the CLE. It's him and his wife. It's a live TV show.
That's cool.
He is a celebrity in Cleveland. He will never have to buy a meal in the city. If there's one thing you need to know about Cleveland, Connor, it's if you show love to Cleveland, they will show love to you. And Josh Prince, he never left. He was a quarterback in college, too, and ended up being flexed into the kick returner role and a wide receiver role. As the ELO that he is down, he is struggling right now. He got caught by that foul tip by a new one.
Man, he is taking a beating today. But I don't want to turn this into a football podcast. But to talk about quarterbacks, transition into wide receivers, the first thing that came to mind was Julian Edelman as a Patriots fan who also went to Kent State.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Kent State, a football powerhouse, apparently. You know those things where they say all guys ever need to do is just sit around and name old sports players?
Yes. Yeah.
That's exactly what we're doing
exactly.
Right now.
Exactly. That's what we do every day, just about.
Except we get paid for it. No.
Pretty
not
game.
Much, but 5-0. Lynchburg out in front. Who would have thought? We don't have any really guidance or direction as to where we want to go with the podcast. That's how baseball kind of is. Foul right at the dish. So we never know where it's going to end up. But every night, it takes some weird turn. Yesterday it was spitting Pomeranians.
Yep.
Tonight it's Josh Cribbs and Kent State baseball. Ground ball up the middle. Backhand is knocked down by Benjamin. He made an attempt to come. It'll be an infield single for Fanny
Hugh. The Red Sox. That's how you gotta start things. Piece by piece. Infield single for Hugh. His second single in back-to-back plate appearances will get them started. Got a long ways to go.
Andy Lugo. He's 0 for 3. He also has that throwing error in left field. A lot of the first non-ball run to games. Takes a called strike over.
Brett Parr came into the game in the 8th. Antonio Anderson also led that inning off with a single.
He skies it. Churio doesn't see it. Now he's got it. He barely had the move for it. Oh, what? Don't hit day for Lugo. And Mick Mulvaney, 0 for 2 with a walk, takes his cuts. Finch fired out wide. Parra, it was that one bad outing, his first one at home for the Hillcats a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And things just unraveled on him. Other than that, he's looked pretty sharp, and even today he's looked sharp. He's going to have a base runner in every inning. So that's Sky. Benjamin in shallow center.
Yeah, you got a guy out of the bullpen especially that can near triple digits on this fastball at times. Probably going to have a job in baseball, or at least the team will give you a chance. And that's what Parra got, formerly the Rangers organization.
I was just about to say, it kind of blows my mind that the Rangers just let him walk out of the Dominican. And they didn't even bring him up to the complex.
No.
It was the Dominican Summer League. That's grounded off the mound. Benjamin bobbles it, sticks with it on the first. Ball game!
And after ball game, the final score.
Benjamin stuck with it on a ground ball. Tucker is retired. The ball game is over. Richmond wins it 5-0. We step aside and we tap out and come back.
And on Thursday, 4th of July, there'll be fireworks show in town. You can get your tickets online. You can save a couple of bucks. Go to Lynchburg-GoCats.com.
Nothing. Lynchburg wins it tonight as the Hillcats pick up their second win of the series and they continue their dominance over the Salem Red Sox. Right now, let's toss it down to our MC, Abram, standing by with tonight's Hillcat hero, Ralphie Velasquez, who just recently saved the MLB Futures Bowl.
Rock, man, what another great game tonight. What were you doing that play? Just trying to clock my approach and I was on the phone with my dad last night for about an hour, just looking over video. So props to him, props to Cole too. Just sticking with my approach and letting it in.
And man, it's been a huge congratulations to you because you were just selected as part of the MLB All-Star Futures game over in Dallas. What does it mean to be a part of that kind of game?
It's surreal. I remember watching when I was a little kid, and now that I'm going to play in it, it's definitely like a dream come true.
Not a good part, man. Appreciate you. Thank you.
That was Ralphie Velasquez, tonight's Hillcat hero of the day, as Velasquez, a three-hit performance, and a double, an RBI single in the seventh inning as well, and also, for the second day in a row, picked up a stolen base. Ball game, it was slow developing. It took a while for things to get up and running. The score was through 5 innings. And then in the sixth, the first run of the game scored via the ball. Yeah, we won't say that very often. A block allowed the first one of the game to score 4-0. We really thought, man, this might be all we get.
Yeah, Lynchburg was able to put together a couple more, but the pitching for Lynchburg once again today, I have to look at the numbers, but I'm pretty sure of this. The Lynchburg pitching staff has the most shutouts in the Carolina League by a wide margin. I'll come back tomorrow with my homework done in the pregame show and confirm that.
And I want you to look also, Tom.
Yes.
Where do they rank in all of minor leagues?
Yes.
Because that's got to be right near the top.
Yeah, they've got a lot.
Baseball, you don't get
shit. No, you don't. Because you got to have a good bullpen, right? I mean, you're not getting guys to go 9 innings in minor league baseball. In major league baseball, you're not getting that either. So that's what they got today. Jarrett Forrest, he gave up 2 leadoff singles, but he worked his way past the trouble. He was great. And Josh Harlow, how about him? Finally coming back and putting his foot down, showing what we thought he was going to be for the Hillcats in April. He comes out of the bullpen and was dominant. And, man, at this point in the season, that's 5 straight losses for Salem. They've got to hate the Hillcats. I mean, man, 12-2 on the year. The Hillcats have owned them. You know they're going to be fired up for the rest of this series.
And it's going to be a fun rest of the week. Get your tickets. Lynchburg-Hillcats.com. 4th of July on Thursday, 5th of July, Patriotic Cap giveaway, and then the 6th of July, Star Wars night, and a fireworks show. But
one more time for me tonight. 5-0, the final score here from Bank of Maine Stadium. As the Milcats walk away victorious, winning their second game of the series. Connor Young will take you the rest of the way. He will get you all up to date with the out-of-town scoreboard and preview tomorrow night's ball game. Should be a fun one as we inch closer to that heavily anticipated 4th of July matchup. But 5-0, final score. I'm Jason. Good night. God bless. And game.
Perfect.
Have fun.
Yep. Nothing, a complete game shutout for Jackson Humphrey, Josh Harlow, and Durrett Parra as Lynchburg pours it on late. They score 1-6, 3-7, 1-8, end up with a 5-0 victory. They're 12th over Salem this season. They're 12-2 against the Red Sox in total. Tomorrow, it'll be Noah Dean squaring off against Alonzo Richardson. Noah Dean comes in at 2-2, 3.54 ERA. Lonzo Richardson 4-4, 3.48 ERA on the season. Two very solid pitchers in the Carolina League, and they'll be squaring off tomorrow at 6.30 p.m. Eastern on July 3rd. But let's take a look around the Carolina League before we get there. Carolina, they're at down east in Granger Stadium, and they trail 6-3 in the bottom of the eighth, the Mudcats. And have to make a late-game comeback against the Wood Ducks. Kannapolis 10-3, middle six over Fayetteville of Charleston in the top eighth against Myrtle Beach. At Myrtle Beach at Pelicans Ballpark, and the River Dogs taking it to the Pelicans on the road 5-0. Delmarva, they trail Fredericksburg at Virginia Credit Union Stadium 8-1. The Frednats keep rolling in the second half. They have a 7-run cushion heading into the seventh. Augusta and Columbia in the top of the seventh inning. Columbia, the Fireflies on top of the Green Jackets 3-1. Take a look at the standings, but the only finish game we have so far is right here in the Hill City. We flew right through things in the middle innings. Helped out by Salem, not putting up too much offense. Only 5 hits, no runs today on this beautiful Tuesday evening. Fredericksburg on top, 7-3. They're probably going to win their game today. They're up 8-1. So you'd assume they'd move up to 8-3, which would put Lynchburg firmly in the second place spot at 7-4. Full game out of first place. Delmarva will probably drop to 6-5, which will put them 2 games out of the top spot. Fredericksburg, they've won 4 straight on their way to winning 5 straight. Lynchburg, they've taken 3 in a row. Carolina currently at 5-5, down east at 4-6, Salem at 4-7 after their loss today. They've now lost 5 straight and are 3-7 in their last 10. Columbia 6-4, along with Fayetteville at the top spot. Augusta 5-5, along with Charleston, and Kannapolis and Myrtle Beach tied at the bottom at 3-7. That'll all be shaken up by the time I join you back tomorrow at 6:10 p.m. Eastern for the pregame show. Make sure you join in. We'll talk about all that went on today, as well as meet the lineup, the starting pitching pairing, as well as a pregame interview. We do every single pregame show to get you started for first pitch. Once again, it'll be Noah Dean versus Alonzo Richardson on the mound. But for Jason Frill, I'm Connor Young saying so long and good night from Lynchburg, Virginia, where the final score for one final time is 5-0 Hillcats. Thank you for tuning in to the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network, and good night from the Hill City.
So it's true. Sometimes it's on calendar, but yeah, I would say MIL. Yep.